much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah! If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
If you're a f***ing white man, aren't you quite aware by holding that video camera on me that you are surrounded by your privilege, right? Take your privilege somewhere else, please, because your privilege is not welcome here. So unless you are here to dismantle your privilege, please find somewhere else to go.
I believe that you're way out of your depth in this matter. So the next time that you want to come in here and tell me what I'm doing wrong, you are welcome to keep it to yourself, because I don't care.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And now.
This is what America needs. America needs to hear the message. We are messed up.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, we are.
I agree.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Monday, the 22nd day of March. How y'all?
21st.
22nd.
21st.
Isn't it?
It's the 21st. It's,
are 21st. You serious?
Yeah.
I'm now very Kevin. Sure.
And now betting for Kevin Ryder.
Well, at least I think this isn't a case of, oh, I can't read my writing. This is, I think this made sense to me in my head, and I didn't double check it because everyone was talking yesterday about how it was the first day of spring, which in my mind is always the 21st of March.
So today would be the 2nd, the 22nd.
Today,
that makes,
I guess,
sense.
Except, yeah. So
except that's the 21st.
Yeah, except that you're wrong.
But see, I guess what happened is today now then is somehow the first full day of spring, and then but spring actually started yesterday on the 20th. So that's what happened.
Okay.
Wrong.
Okay, I guess I was. All right. So you guys ready to unlock some value for CBS shareholders?
Woo! Wow.
Did we get sold while I was gone?
Not yet.
What's going to happen with that?
I don't know. I think we're going to go under.
Meaning they're going to pull the plug?
Just going to pull the plug. They've had enough.
But the station has got to be worth something, right? It'll be worth something to somebody. I mean, there's no guarantee. Look.
I've got $5.
Oh, Chip.
There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that whoever buys the radio station, and for folks who don't know what we're talking about, it was revealed last week while I was on vacation and could not comment on it, that CBS is going to put their stations up for sale. We own 117 radio stations. The company has been in the radio business since 1928, I want to say. And they're going to sell them off. And the problem for us and for maybe you, the K-Rock listener, is somebody can buy us and do whatever they want with the frequency. So I don't want to be a doomsdayer here, mm-hmm. But there aren't very many radio stations like K-Rock in the country left anymore.
No.
A lot of people have just decided, you know what, maybe that's not where the demographics are. That's not the easiest way to make money is by playing the goddamn rock music. So I would say that there is a real possibility that somebody could buy this radio station and say, we could make a lot more money playing Justin Bieber records. You know what I mean? Or broadcasting in Spanish or doing any number of other things that are profitable formats. So it's kind of scary to think. I mean, there's so little rock in the world left anyway. I don't really like the idea of a Los Angeles radio dial with no K-Rock.
It's the worst way to start Monday, Bean.
Well, it's, believe me, don't think it hasn't been on my mind the whole time I was gone is, you know, I think we have some time. I mean, even if they sold the radio station tomorrow, I think there would still be a few months before somebody else would take it over. But, I mean, surely you guys must have thought about that, too.
Nope.
Nope. Anytime your company is sold, mm-hmm. somebody can make changes.
Sure.
CBS is committed to K-Rock, or has been.
CBS cares. I have read that.
I have heard that
a
too.
Lot.
Yes.
So I'm not worried.
So I don't know. It's just I'm putting it out there that that this may be a time to listen to K-Rock, because in a year there may not be a K-Rock.
Oh, well.
That's all.
Welcome back, Bean.
I know. I'm very seriously going to start taking those Spanish courses. I do know that because I want to be prepared in the event that I'm able to make the transition to the new Musica, Musica, Musica format.
Oh, my God. God. You speaking any Spanish, I would listen to that all morning long.
Yes, I do not have a natural affinity for the accent, that's for sure. Before we move on and talk about today's show, Allie, you have been sick or have not been sick?
It started yesterday with this weird thing in the back of my throat where, it's almost like my lymph node is swollen, but it's not swollen enough to be a full-blown sore throat. So I think it's the beginning of something, but it's to the point where I can feel my tongue up against it. Why am I talking?
Go on.
And it's inhibiting words. Words are even harder than usual because I feel it, and then it just, it's not good, is what I'm saying.
Can you eat?
No.
Ooh.
Which is great.
Can you lick?
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to...
But seriously, not eating and not talking, that's a dream for many people.
It's certainly a dream for me.
Yes.
Working with you, that's
that
for sure.
That I get. What?
So do you feel like you are getting sick?
I don't.
Do you have your tonsils? Is it a tonsils thing?
I've had my tonsils. Well, I had them because I don't... What?
And so it begins.
Words are hard, Allie.
I have not had them taken out, and I should have a long time ago because I get strep sometimes 2 to 3 times a year.
Okay.
And I know I should have had my tonsils out a long time ago, but I'm allergic to ice cream, so that whole, like, oh, but you get all the ice cream you want. No. There's no benefit to me getting my tonsils out.
But you can have, you got popsicles. You got popsicles. That would do the same thing without the milk allergy.
But then I just think of the guy from Family Guy and the popsicles in his basement. And
okay. What are adenoids? Is that a thing that could be a possibility? Is that a throat thing or is that another part of the body?
I don't know.
I've heard of adenoids as being a thing that swells as well.
I don't even want to Google it, Mean. Okay, what are you doing?
I know I don't know. I just
come on.
I know that's one of those things that happens.
So. Yeah.
All right.
Adenoid.
All right. But you're gonna be okay as far as you're hoping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's a massive enlarged lymphatic tissue between the back of the nose and the throat.
So that's not this. This is throaty. This isn't nosy.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So all hands on deck minus the monkey for this week. Let's take a look at today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Go home. Get a job. Get a job.
I have a job. I'm doing the best I can. Our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, of course, joins us as he does every Monday morning. That'll be around 6:20 this morning. Matt Money Smith on the program talking about what might have been the most remarkable weekend in the history of the NCAA tournament. You've never seen more buzzer beaters. You've never seen more come from behind victories. You've never seen more 15 seeds beat 2 seeds. 99.9% of America's brackets for March Madness this year were busted on day one.
Yeah.
It's a crazy tournament. They're talking about some of the best games in the history of sports have been played just this past weekend, and we still have a lot more basketball still to go, so we'll catch up with Matt on that. The Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, stops by, so we can go out for some breakfast, Allie.
Yep.
Have a half hour off.
Oh, come on. He'll take care of it.
We'll just wind him up and let him go. What is the hot wife syndrome we're going to be talking about today?
That had to do with Bubba the Love Sponge and his wife. And, of course, his wife is the one that Hulk Hogan supposedly had sex with, allegedly.
Why is that supposed and alleged? I thought that's what the sex tape trial was all about, is having sex with Bubba's wife.
But did he know that Bubba was recording it type of thing? Did he know that it was all going on? Or did he just randomly have sex with his wife? But hot wife syndrome is guys that love to see their wives having sex with other people.
Okay. All right. And that's pretty common, or is Bubba an outlier on this?
Well, Ralph seems to think it's a little more common than not.
All right. I guess we'll find out. And what kinds of Mardi Gras photos did the Pope post on his Instagram account? I guess we'll find out, because he fired that up last week as well. All of that and the Showbiz Beat and so much more coming up on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show right after this on K-Rock. Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Still giving away those tickets for Coachella, which is fast approaching, by the way. Win a pair of sold-out 3-day passes to the festival Monday through Friday again this week at 5 p.m. and qualify to drive home in a brand-new Jeep, the 2016 Jeep Renegade. Just 25 days till Coachella, if you're keeping track. Hey, Ralph Garman.
What do you have against piano, man?
What do you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, he did talk right over it.
I love the ending of that song. Coachella. You know, I was in boom, boom.
I wasn't aware we were invested in that last 5 seconds of the song. That's sorry about
you
that.
You hate piano. It's all
right. I really don't.
Whatever.
I
like the piano as an instrument.
Keep it moving, that's all.
Well, that's on you.
Busy man. Got a lot to do. A lot to get to. Hey, did you miss me, Ralph?
I'm sorry, you are again?
Oh, that's Bean.
Bean?
Bean.
Been on the show a
it's
while?
Not a name.
Just...
It is not.
It's not a name. It's barely a food.
It's actually not. Well, I missed you, and I'm happy to be back. And by the way, just after 6, I've got some questions, because I don't listen to the show, because I'm a kid. And I have some questions about some things that I heard that happened last week that I'm going to need you guys to fill me in on so I am up to speed with where we're at.
May I suggest foregoing that and just you listening to the podcasts? Just do your due diligence. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I can't do that.
We're hardly responsible for keeping you up to date when you're on vacation.
Let's find out what's new here on this new week with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
We look at the top 10 movies at the box office every Monday morning, and that's what we're doing right now. Zootopia is still number one for the third week in a row. Another $38 million this week. People love animals that talk like people.
Wow.
You saw that, right? And liked it very much?
I have not seen it yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure if I did, I would like it very much.
Right.
It's like $200 million so far.
Wow.
The Divergent series, Allegiant, in its debut, did very well also. Almost $30 million, made it number two. Miracles from Heaven.
Ah.
The movie where God drops a kid on its head.
Well,
$15 million.
I don't know if God does that.
It's what the
kid
that's
falls
what the
and
about,
then
Allie.
Is healed.
Uh-huh.
And
God heals a kid by dropping her on her head.
Okay.
Is that the plot?
That's one way to look at
it. That's how I like to look at it. 10 Cloverfield Lane was fourth and Deadpool was fifth. London Has Fallen. Whiskey, Tango, Foxtrot. The perfect match of Brothers Grimsby and Revenant. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. At the end of the week, we didn't get a chance to talk about it because it happened late Friday. But Hulk Hogan, a.k.a. Terry Bollea. I wonder who wins the money, actually. Terry or Hulk?
Good point.
Which one's got the 10-inch penis?
That's Hulk.
Then he doesn't need the money.
Nope.
He's already got that. Give it to Terry. Hulk Hogan won $115 million Friday.
Wow.
In his sex tape lawsuit against Gawker. Now, the Hulkster said that the little piece of the sex tape that Gawker put on their website caused him severe emotional distress and economic damages.
Now, let me ask you guys about that. I get when Erin Andrews got the big payout, I get the emotional distress as a result of her being surreptitiously filmed and put all over the internet. Did it hurt Hulk Hogan?
Don't be sexist.
But, I mean, realistically, he has that persona of a professional wrestler, a bold, bigger-than-life wild man who brags about his penis and his sexuality all the time, and now he's got a sex tape.
Well, that's the thing. It's a persona versus the reality. If that was filmed without his knowledge and put on, it's a privacy issue, and he deserves every penny.
I think even if it was filmed with his knowledge, you don't expect
the
public to be treated to that.
No.
That's obviously something that you're filming or they're filming for their own personal sexual gratification. It's not for public
And the fact that they basically said, oh no, the public needs to know about these things. It's news.
I think Gawker's defense was weak because they said it was newsworthy, so they were standing behind the First Amendment for this invasion of privacy.
And, sit down.
The founder of Gawker's already announced that he's immediately going to appeal the decision. They gave Hulkster $60 million for emotional distress and $55 million for economic damages. That's the part I find hard to believe, that he's really, his career has suffered one way or the other because of the tape, because I don't think he had that much of a career before the tape.
No.
It seems to be the status quo.
Stopping him from getting work that he was getting before. He didn't get fired from a bunch of advertisers or anything like that.
He did for using the N-word, but that's a whole different argument.
Right.
He could even make more money because the jury is still considering punitive damages as well, so this may not be over yet, but $115 million, that's what the judgment was for. So.
I saw talk last week that it might put Gawker out of business. And I think that company also owns Deadspin.
Deadspin,
Jezebel. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm all right with that.
With losing them all?
Yep.
What did they do to you?
They're just horrible.
Did they put
people.
Your sex tape up too?
A little bit.
Oh, that's
just a clip of it. Not the clip I wanted.
You got to control the conversation, as
Agreed.
They say in media.
Agreed.
And sad news, Kim Tripp has passed away. She, of course, was best known for playing midget Kim Kardashian in Beecher's Madhouse in Las Vegas. She's the dead at the age of 32.
Oh, no.
She was a little... She was mini Kim. She was found by her boyfriend, who plays mini Kanye,
nope.
Of course.
Is this true?
Mm-mm. Absolutely true.
No.
It is true. Mini Kanye found mini Kim at her home in Vegas on Sunday morning. She was just 32 years old. No word on her passing of whether it was a medical issue or foul play was involved. Police are currently investigating, but say they keep coming up short. So you're going to have to wait and see if any further facts come from the investigation. Mm-hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rosie O'Donnell. Donald Trump's considering her for a running mate, I understand.
They're the best of friends.
It doesn't seem like
54 now. Years old today. Matthew Broderick is also 54. Gary Oldman, 58 years old today.
Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon, of course, from Batman movies. What?
Sorry.
What'd you make that face for?
I was thinking of Commissioner Gordon. I was thinking of Gotham, and that's Donald Logue. I went current. Please proceed. Oh no, Ralph.
You're killing me, Allie.
I know.
Eddie Money, singer Eddie Money.
I've got two tickets to paradise. Won't you pack your bags and leave tonight? I've got two tickets to paradise. I've got two tickets to paradise.
The Money Man.
Can we, at some point later today, share the story with Allie about the time you got to perform on stage with Eddie Money?
I don't know if we have that much time. We did such a long set. I mean,
I know.
It would take a long time
what?
To really discuss. Me and the Money Man on stage, rocking it together.
Oh, yep. I need this.
You got to hear the story.
We were shaking.
No.
He's 66 today. I'll tell that story next showbiz. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This one, do I have to let run all the way out too?
No, you can talk over this one.
Talk over this one.
Just a bunch of people singing. Hi.
Monday morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. It's 106.7 KROQ. Thank you so much for joining us. Ralph, you suggested earlier that if I want to know what the hell's going on the Kevin DeBean Show, I just listen to the podcast.
Right.
Here's the problem with that. And I've given this a lot of thought because I am – this is Bean speaking, and Kevin's on vacation this week, but I was gone last week. So I missed a lot of stuff that happened on the show.
Right.
Because, you know, you miss a day, you miss a lot.
Well, don't go on vacation then if you love it so much. Stick around.
I like to go on vacation, but I also like to stay current.
See, I like to go away and pretend this doesn't exist and then put it out of my mind for a week.
It's pretty easy, right?
It is. It's really easy, actually.
I like to know what's going on, and I have given a lot of thought to, well, maybe I should just listen to the show. But here's the rub,
yeah.
Because if I listen to the show and it's great, then I realize I am a fraud and completely unnecessary and contribute nothing to the show, and no one cares if I come back or not. That's
right.
All I hear, okay? Mm-hmm. If I listen to the show and it's awful, then I'm super depressed and really can't enjoy my vacation because I'm ruining the show by being gone because I am so needed.
You are a chick.
But
I mean.
So it's a lose-lose if I tune in. So the only thing I can do is not listen to it.
You have and show then, feelings.
Yeah, I do. I have show feelings. But I did see a couple of things on social media last week that happened during the broadcast that I feel like going forward there may be references made to and I need to know about them. For instance.
Bean needs to know.
Bean needs to know. For instance, Kevin's Inception moment with.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
It was – I wouldn't say really – first of all, the show was great while you were gone. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think you really missed anything except for that moment last week.
Really?
Which
unreal.
Was pretty spectacular and mind-bending.
I mean, it's always great news when there's a new moment with Kevin. What was exceptional about this one?
Well, it happened on St. Patrick's Day, and – last year on St. Patrick's Day, I brought in to me what I thought was an interesting fact was that California had the highest number of Irish American residents in it in all of the United States. And I found that interesting because it's not necessarily a state you think of when you think of Irish Americans.
Yeah, you're right.
I brought that up last year.
Okay.
When I asked Kevin what state had the highest percentage of Irish Americans, he gave an interesting answer last year.
Okay.
That became a moment with.
Right.
I brought up the same fact because I still think it's interesting this year on St. Patrick's Day, and his reaction made our brains melt. So we put together a moment within a moment with. What you're hearing in this moment with is from a year ago on St. Patrick's Day, then you'll hear a little sound cue, and then you'll hear this year on St. Patrick's Day.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
You know what state has the largest number of Irish Americans in it in these United States?
Boston.
I would say
Massachusetts.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It was an inception moment. We were a dream within a dream when he came. It was the exact same moment with recreated.
Whoa.
Without any intention, it just happened.
Because, what's great about Kevin is the rest of us would make that mistake a year ago. It would be embarrassed. It would think, oh, well, I learned my lesson there, obviously. Right. I'm never going to make that mistake again. Massachusetts is the state.
Right.
Dude.
Yeah.
But at least he caught himself at the end of Boston. So we figured maybe next year he'll still say Massachusetts, which will still be the wrong answer.
He's a gift.
That is fantastic. I love that.
It was kind of crazy.
All right. Thing two. We heard Allie doing some contributing vocals on that Kendrick Lamar piece that we played a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, big duet.
Allie apparently is really getting into the dance music game.
Yeah.
I understand that she dropped a new joint that involves her. Is she duetting with Beer Money?
Yeah,
well, they've
got a new single out.
Duetting as much as. It's awful. No, I'm just going to come right out and say it.
Love it, first of all.
It's beer mug eating at Shake Shack mixed in with me moaning. It's not good.
That doesn't sound attractive, but I'm willing to give it a listen.
You're wrong. Take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
oh God.
Oh.
There are no words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Smell it.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrible. I hate it so much.
You are due $150 million from the jury right now.
First.
Wow, is that awful?
It's everything bad in one thing.
Yes.
God.
Wow.
Want to hear it again?
No.
I actually do. Yeah.
No. Just one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh God.
Oh.
There are no words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Smell it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was horrible.
That needs a rave bed. That's the only thing that's missing, I think.
Do I need to watch the Beer Mug Shake Shack video at
Derek.com?
Because that sounds awful.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like he is just jamming that food into his face.
Oh, yeah. He's just missing a trough, really, is the only thing he's missing from that experience.
All right. And the other thing I have to ask about, Ralph, is I couldn't believe that I assume you opened up the door again all these years later to What Are You Going to Do? Spoon Me to Death.
I didn't do it. It was a call during What's Good where we were opening up the phone lines and a listener called in asking, did we ever get to the bottom of that question of where was that line? What movie was that line from?
Uh-huh.
And I said, really, we never got a satisfactory answer to that. And that did start the floodgates opening up again with everyone suggesting where that line came from.
And suggesting all of the things that we discussed a million times, the Mystery Man and all the other movies and TV shows, and Aladdin and everything, Robin Hood, and all the things, none of which have that quote in it, right?
No.
Now, wasn't the conclusion that we came to all those years ago that it doesn't exist?
Not in that form. We couldn't find that exact quote anywhere. So we think it's maybe some people heard little bits and pieces and it had been mutated over the years like a game of telephone. Mm-hmm. But we never actually found that line in a movie. No.
It was a big mistake having that caller on the other
one. We never should have done it. I just regretted it immediately when we talked about it. I knew it was going to happen.
All right. Last question as Bean gets caught up on what he missed on vacation last week. Elephant semen.
Oh, dear.
Yes, they've been added to Coachella, and so we're looking forward to seeing it.
Kevin went to see the Brothers Grimsby movie, and of course, it's Kevin's favorite movie of all time ever, right? And then Chip went to see it, and Chip loved it, and Chip is the audience for a movie like that. Chip and Kevin have very similar tastes when it comes to things like
that. Kevin likes a lot of bad dumb, like Paul Blart, but he also knows my sense of humor, so if he says, Chip, you'll like this movie?
Uh-huh.
Probably I'll like it. So I went and saw it, and it's awesome.
Yes.
It's awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
How did you talk Allie into going to see it? Because this
peer pressure.
The opposite of the type of movie that she or I would ever go see.
We beat her down into going
to
see it.
Yeah, they tortured her and threatened her by describing that scene to her. And then they insisted that she go and watch it. And she was like, no, I don't want to see it.
But at least I had producer Christine, who was such a gentle, sweet spirit next to me, that if I needed her, she'd be there.
How was it? Was it awesome or was it awful?
It was really funny.
See?
Like,
really?
Hysterically funny. Allie. To the point where I laughed so hard being that I almost threw up. Like, almost threw up in the theater.
Wow. We should have recorded that and we could have put it with Beer Mug and had a new single.
Yep. Ralph, why do you think that movie has so underperformed? If our small unscientific survey here shows everyone who's gone to see it loved it, why is it a bomb?
I think it is. I think there's a shared sense of humor in this room that is served well by Sacha Baron Cohen and his sensibility, but I don't think he's sort of a mass appeal kind of guy.
He's not for most people.
Yeah. I think
you'll never look at elephants the same way again, Allie?
No. Not
from that viewpoint.
What?
Play Allie and Beer Mug one more time to take us out, would you?
I don't think we need it.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
God.
Oh.
There are no words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Smell it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was horrible.
Opening in 25 days.
It's Beard Man versus Floral Headband Girl. Watch as these two titans of tofu face off against each other in a battle for Coachella supremacy.
Fight to get the picture. Hey, you,
the muscles and the long head. Sold out 3-day passes. Access to the secret headquarters at the K-Rock Coachella House. And every super hipster needs a ride, don't they?
One grand prize winner gets a new 2016 Jeep Renegade, the most capable small SUV ever.
Win organically on K-Rock, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m.
Right?
Go Kings.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. I always look forward to this time on the show. We catch up with our good friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how are you?
Good morning, guys. Good. How are you doing?
Doing great. I'm so excited. We have, I know you and I are both loving this O.J. Simpson miniseries. We have Courtney B. Vance is going to be on the show tomorrow. Of course, plays Johnny Cochran on the show. He's so great, isn't he?
He is really, you know, the two people who are great are his character and the Marcia Clark character.
Yes, amazing. Very much so. Yeah, Sarah Paulson. And you spent, you know, so much time, as we've discussed, during the O.J. trial. That was your life for 3 years. I mean, you knew those people. Is it uncanny for you? Does it feel like a time machine when you sit down and watch it because it's so close to the real thing?
You know, I got to tell you, I mean, I was so O.J.'d out by the time this was over. And, you know, I really enjoy this. I don't think I'm quite as obsessed as a lot of other people who weren't as close to it, but I find it's interesting to me. I feel bad for Robert Shapiro. I mean, I think they're just eviscerating him. And, you know, Travolta is playing such a caricature of this guy that it's almost painful.
It seems unrealistic to you compared to how good some of the other actors are.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, Travolta's great in the role, but, I mean, it's the lines, too, that are written, and they make him totally look like this buffoon.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him on this, but I got to say, they've really nailed Johnny. I think they've done great with Chris Darden.
I do, too.
Marcia Clark is interesting to me. They have made her the heroine in this case. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know how you see it. That's the way I see it. I mean, when you
Absolutely. You feel so bad for her and you root for her because she is such a decent person who's just trying to do the people's work. And she has every obstacle in the world put in front of her.
I mean, I think that's right. She is definitely a decent person who is trying to do the people's work. But at the same time, so many mistakes made in this trial. And I think that that's one of the unrealistic things, that, you know, she decided to put the coroner on the stand for 8 days, which is insane.
Yeah.
You know, that literally, I mean, to the point where I knew his name, I could say Lakshman and Satyavagiswaran so effortlessly.
What just happened?
Because he was on the stand for so long, and he shouldn't have been. I mean, the case was not presented well.
I agree.
And I think that they're kind of skating over that. And they're kind of giving look, I mean, she certainly did. She certainly worked hard, and she tried hard, and she was committed, and she is a good person. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of missing that element.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think the case was not presented well, but I also think they ran into a buzzsaw defense that the likes of which had never been presented in a major American trial. I don't think they couldn't have predicted the tricks that were being thrown at them.
It could have been. Listen, it would have. It could have been a hung jury. I mean, I don't know that she ever could have won it. But, I mean, my God, you know, she actually ended up saying this, but she saved it for the end. It was a 9-month trial. People were numb on that jury. They didn't sign up for 9 months, and it didn't have to be 9 months. And I think they were so resentful that this thing dragged on. When you think about it, it's like, okay, here's how I can convict O.J. Simpson. You want it in 20 seconds?
Yeah.
How does Mark Furman... I'll give you two things, and she actually said it, but at the end. So two things. One, how does Mark Furman plant O.J. Simpson's blood on the back gate where the murderer escaped at Nicole's condo if they didn't draw his blood until 24 hours later?
Boom. Conviction.
Number two, Mark Furman picks up a glove at the murder scene the second he's there to take over to O.J.'s house and plant it, not knowing whether O.J. Simpson is in town, out of town, on an airplane somewhere with an ironclad defense, which would then mean Mark Furman could get prosecuted for a felony for planting this evidence. So why does he concoct a scheme without even knowing that this guy is even a possible suspect? There's no way he would know that.
Right.
So how is he concocting all of this stuff?
Those are great questions that seem like any reasonable person would hear and go, no matter what else happened in this case, there's no possible answer for those
hey,
two things.
Here's the thing. Did he use the N-word? Yeah. Okay. Does he have blue eyes? Maybe. They're both irrelevant to this case. He didn't
right.
plant evidence.
Why weren't you trying the case?
It's funny. You guys are way – well, I think you're too young. Do you guys remember the Twilight Zone case with John Landis?
Too young.
Do you guys remember?
I mean, I think I've read about it very vaguely. I remember.
Okay. Look,
this is the one where actor Vic Morrow got decapitated by a helicopter blade while they were filming the movie, right?
Kids, oh, my.
With two little kids.
Right.
And the helicopter was flying over a swamp in the middle of the night. So the prosecution in that case, it went on forever. And the prosecution in that case started talking about the aerodynamics of helicopters and getting into all this stuff. And it was so difficult to understand. The jury found the jury didn't convict him of manslaughter. And the way you do it is this. Okay, you take a helicopter and you put it 100 feet above the ground when you're firing explosives in the air, and you put two little kids behind you. What else do you need to know?
It sounds like, Harvey, what you're saying is the first rule of jury trial should be the same as the first rule of politics, which is keep it simple, stupid, right?
Yes, yes. Well, you are never going to make these people experts in fields that are impossible to really understand. And all you do is confuse them. And if you confuse them, that constitutes reasonable doubt, which means not guilty. So by trying to make somebody an expert, you're ensuring that they're going to get a not guilty verdict.
That makes so much sense. Less is more. You're so right. And that was certainly the case. I mean, you saw on the episode last week how furious the jury was that they had basically lost a year of their life when it was not what they signed up for. And by the way,
sequestered.
Yeah, yeah.
Sequestered.
Not just lost, but
sequestered.
I brought up the O.J. thing, and I know we're almost out of time already, Harvey, because we got off on this tangent. But because the People vs. O.J. is so hot right now, you got a Cato Kalin story, which I found amusing up at TMZ.com this morning. What's going on with him?
Well, I remember this so well. I remember when Cato took the stand, and I was covering it, and I looked at the first image I remember when I looked up at the screen, and I looked at Cato when I was in the media room. I thought, huh, he picked a green suit? No, I just remember the suit because it was like everybody was wearing, you know, gray and blue and black. And it's like, okay, Cato picked a green suit. Well, all these years later, it turned out Cato, this is going to shock you. Cato didn't own a suit.
What? That beach bum looked like he had so much going on, Harvey.
He did not own a suit. So he borrowed that suit from a friend. And it's a Versace suit. And the friend put it in the suit bag for 22 years. And now that this is on the air, he thought, you know, I'm going to capitalize off of this. So it's on eBay for $5,000.
Hilarious.
I mean, if you're interested, it's a size 40.
What has Kato Kaelin been doing all those years since the OJ trial? He had a radio show for a while on the old KLSX in Los Angeles. But what did he do after that? He never really acted, right?
Kato. Kato has figured out a way of just kind of like, I don't know, parlaying it for many, many years. And, you know, it's not like he ever hit big, but he's done enough. And he's been able to kind of use it to get by.
And yeah, he'll show up in the Sharknado movie or something like that. I mean, he just kind of pieces together enough of a career based on the fact that...
Here's the sad part. So did I. So it's like, you're the same guy.
I don't think that's true,
seriously,
Harvey.
Well, it's true when you think about it.
You founded a company that you run, all right? Kato is just waiting for somebody to put him on TV for 50
still
bucks. It's very different, Harvey.
Still both in Sharknado.
You can watch the TMZ game show. It's very funny. Weekday afternoons at 5:30 on Channel 13. It's called South of Wilshire. Don't miss TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. TMZ Live airs at 4 o'clock on Channel 11. And then, of course, the original TMZ all over the day on Channel 11. I really enjoyed this chat, Harvey. Always a pleasure, sir. We'll do it again next week.
My pleasure.
106.7 KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. The Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, later on this morning. Allie, what's your impression of the cool Pope, Pope Francis?
Just that. He's a cool, Pope.
I love him so much.
You do.
I'm not a religious person, but I think the Pope embodies everything that's good about religion in that it seems to be about humility, and it seems to be about helping people, and it seems to be about comforting people, and it seems to be about listening and respecting people. I mean, he talks the talk and he walks the walk. That's what I love about this Pope. You know, especially coming after the, you know, the evil Nazi Pope, he's just a breath of fresh air. And he just seems cool. He just seems like he can talk to and relate to anybody. He seems comfortable in every situation. I mean, you know, he's a rock star in how much people love this guy, above and beyond just the fact that he's the leader of the Catholic Church and there are millions of people who follow that. People seem to genuinely like him in person. And he has surprised a lot of people by kind of trying to drag the church into the 21st century. And one of the ways he's done this is by being active on social media. I mean, the Pope tweets, you know, for instance. And now the Pope has joined Instagram. This just happened last week. He met with the founder of Instagram recently, the CEO, Kevin Systrom, and apparently they had a conversation about it, and he joined Instagram, and in less than 12 hours, he gained 1 million followers. So a lot of people want to see what the Pope is up to. He has only posted one picture so far, and that is a photo of him kneeling in prayer with the message, "Pray for me," in 9 languages. So that was the Pope's first Instagram. But we wanted to get out to the Vatican and find out more from Pope Francis about what he has planned as an Instagram user, and I believe he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Your Holiness, always an honor to have you on, sir. How are you?
Hello to the max, yo.
Wow. Real down with the people.
He is down. So how are you enjoying social media? You tweet, you have a Facebook page, and now you're on Instagram.
This Instagram is cray-cray.
You know, you like it, do you?
So much fun. I can't believe. Hold a second. Duck face.
Are you taking selfies?
Yes, I take selfies. I put them on Instagram. I have 1 million followers already.
Right? Yeah, you're very popular, yeah.
Chicks dig me.
Yeah. Now, but don't feel like you need to take duck face photos just because.
Duck face.
Oh, but again, I think those are kind of over. I think the Kardashians kind of killed the duck face.
All right, I'll just smile. Jesus.
Jesus.
I say Jesus when I smile instead of cheese.
Sure. Funny? Well, you're the Pope.
That's why chicks dig me.
It's kind of frustrating for you, I would imagine, that chicks dig you so much, but you can't really dig them back, if you get my meaning.
Well, just because you're on a diet doesn't mean you can't look at the menu. You know,
okay, well, that's true.
Hold
that's
a second. Ah, Jesus bling. I got a crazy gold cross I wear. I took a picture of it. The rich Pope of Beverly Hills, yo.
Wow.
Jesus.
You have really picked up all the lingo pretty fast on Instagram.
Yes, and I take pictures of my food that I put out all the time, too. It's crazy. I just take pictures of what I'm going to eat, and people look at it.
Uh-huh.
And they like it. Hold a second. Take a communion wafer, yo.
Oh, no.
Yeah, push that.
Taking a lot of photos.
Yes, I'm not even bothering with church business anymore. I just take pictures and post them. I have to feed my fans. You know, they love me, and they need to know everything I'm doing. Hold on a second, look. Ankle. I just lift up my robe a little bit and show some ankles sometimes.
Okay, but what's the point of that? Like, who needs to see the Pope's ankle?
The lady's crazy, yo.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Oh, it's like, what's the mystery? What's he got under that hassock?
Under the what?
Under
I'm sorry?
The what?
The hassock.
Is that what they're called? I didn't know that.
That's it's a robe. A priest's robe is called a hassock.
Oh, all right.
The more you know.
And entertaining.
Dun, dun, dun.
He is on top of things.
The Pope's Instagram handle, by the way, is Franciscus, in case you're wondering, in case you'd like to follow him. And it is separate from the official Vatican account. So this is just for you personally.
I tried to get Pope, but that lady from Scandal had it.
Oh, Olivia
Pope, yeah, she beat you. Well, she got into the social media game a little earlier
that
than you.
Bitch.
Well, let's not call her names, your holiness. Do you think, Ralph, that K-Rock's new owners will be as deeply committed to the Red Hot Chili Peppers as their current owners are?
They couldn't be more. I know that much. They couldn't play any more Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Unless
it just becomes K-Pep or something. If it's just all Chili Peppers all the time, it's the only way.
Well, maybe that's what the market has been needing. Maybe that's our slot. I like it. All right. Monday morning, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. And don't forget at the end here, Ralph, when we talk about the money man, we got to tell Allie this story about anybody. Let's not forget about that.
I'll carve out a little time for my
what
money
else
man
is going
story
on?
It's Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Zootopia, third week in a row, $38 million, made it number one this weekend. Boy, people love that movie. I've not yet had a chance to see it. I've heard that it's good for older kids. It can be a little intense for younger kids.
Okay.
That's why I haven't taken my daughter to see it yet. But grown-ups I know who have seen it loved it. So it's got a wide appeal to a lot of different kinds of folks.
Did you guys talk last week about the Seth Rogen trailer for Sausage Party?
We didn't.
Not for kids.
Not on air. We didn't talk about it. No.
Not for kids.
Hard R-rated animated.
Because kids are going to see that, you know, whatever they end up putting on TV for the trailer, they'll be like, oh, that looks so fun, a little talking hot dog. No,
well,
not
here's the thing. Here's the disturbing part. There are parents who will take their kids to go see that, regardless.
Just because it's animated, they'll assume it's okay?
Yes. Doing no due diligence whatsoever. They'll just show up with their kids.
Wow.
And then as the F-bombs start flying, they will remain in the theaters with their kids, I guarantee you.
Yep. I think you can count on that.
They'll probably be sitting behind me. Divergent, the Allegiant, third in that Divergent series, was second at the box office with $29.1 million. Then Miracles from Heaven, 10 Cloverfield Lane, and Deadpool rounded out the top five. London Has Fallen was number six at the box office, followed by Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, The Perfect Match, The Brothers Grimsby, and The Revenant. Your top 10 movies at the box office. Sad news. One of my favorite character actors, Joe Santos, passed away over the weekend. He had roles on Hill Street Blues, Magnum P.I. He was in The Sopranos, had a regular role in that. But he's probably best known playing the best friend to Jim Rockford on The Rockford Files, Police Lieutenant Dennis Becker. He was Becker for six seasons on that show with James Garner, and they had a great on-screen and off-screen relationship. Passed away at the age of 84. Sad news. Come on, Dennis. He said that in every episode. James Garner said that. It's like a catchphrase. Finally, we now know who Chachi's going to vote for.
Oh, jeez.
We can all relax. No need to really make up your own mind because Fonzie's cousin has weighed in on who should be the next president, and it's Donald Trump.
Yeah!
Scott Baio has come forward and saying he is absolutely supporting Trump for president. When asked why, he answered, it's very simple. When he speaks, I understand him. Well, there you go.
Huh.
That should be our new poster. Trump, he's for dumb people.
I have heard that he speaks at a fourth grade level.
There you go.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
He is. Mm-hmm. And Chachi likes that. Chachi likes that he can understand him. Wow. He speaks like I speak, he said. He's got good words, I guess, is what he's saying. Words.
He's got the best words, yeah. He's still the next president of the United States, right? That's still what we're doing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
okay.
That's a slam dunk.
Just want to make sure we're all still on the same page that's what we've decided to do as a country.
It's Donald in charge.
Okay.
For Scott Baio. That's what
I
he's
like it.
For.
Let me know when Jenny Piccolo weighs in.
Oh, yes.
Other than that, I don't care.
Or Leather Tuscadero. Who's she voting for? That's what I want to know.
Well, she'd definitely be with Hillary, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Fine. Strong women stick together, right? Today's celebrity birthday is Rosie O'Donnell's 54 years old today. Matthew Broderick is 54 as well. Gary Oldman, very talented actor, is 58. And legendary singer Eddie Money, 66 years old today. Give me a little money, man. Smell it. Long-time listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show may remember when I performed with Eddie Money on stage at the Orange County Fair.
I didn't see the air quotes over performed, Ralph.
How dare you, sir? Here's the story, Allie. This happened before you were on the show, but I'm a huge Eddie Money fan.
Wow.
And I had been I'd been hyping the Money Man for a long time on the air, and Eddie caught wind of it and called in and talked to me on the station. He was going to perform at the Orange County Fair, I think, the following week. And he caught wind of us talking about him and his amazing career on the morning show.
Oh, wow.
Called in, and we talked to him, and he was great. And he said, look, Rav, you're such a big fan. Why don't you come down to the OC Fair when I'm performing and come out on stage and perform an encore with me.
No way.
How about that for a dream come true,
right?
By the way?
It is the best moment of my life at this point. And I know I'm going to take the stage with the money.
Yeah.
So I get down there early. And I go to his dressing room, and we sit down, and we work out a duet that we're going to do on a song called Wanna Be a Rock and Roll Star, one of his hits from his early albums. And so we work out. I said, okay, Rob, you go here, and you're going to sing this part, and then I'll come back, and I'll sing this part, and we'll do like a harmony on the chorus. I was like, excellent. This is going to be the greatest thing ever. He said, now I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to sing two tickets. That's my first encore. And then you'll be off in the wings, and you come out on the stage after that. Uh-huh. And then we're going to do another encore of you and me together. And I said, this is great, Eddie. I will see you out there.
Yeah.
So he's performing, and he's there. The best part for me is Dave, our now producer, had just joined the show recently, and he was our phone screener. Mm-hmm. And it was his job to sit in the crowd with a video camera and videotape this performance. So he's sitting through the entire Eddie Money concert.
By the way, Dave
left
the Warped Tour,
yes,
which he wanted to be at, to come film Eddie Money, whom he had never heard of.
Right. So I'm standing in the wings, and I'm watching Eddie Money perform, and I'm getting, you know, really psyched because he's into Two Tickets to Paradise.
Yeah.
Two Tickets to Paradise! Wraps it up, the thunderous applause, and I walk out on stage for my performance just in time to see Eddie Money walking off the stage the opposite direction into the wings, down the ramp, and into his tour bus. He's gone. Eddie has left the building. And I'm standing on stage by myself as the band is unplugging and walking away. And I'm looking out the audience.
Did he just forget what happened?
He completely forgot that we were going to do that song together.
That's the saddest, greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yes. And so I did one of those, like a cartoon mouse. I did like one of those back pedals where I'm just walking backwards slowly off the stage, like Tom and Jerry, like Tom not wanting to wake up the dog, the guard dog, as I was just tiptoeing backwards off the stage.
Oh, wow.
And I went backstage, and the money man was just shaking his head saying, dude, I'm sorry. I just completely forgot that we were going to do that.
Wow.
Do you still love Eddie Money?
I still love Eddie Money.
He's still your man. Okay.
Still the money man.
Oh,
and
geez.
I still respect and adore and love him. Even though I did get sort of hung out to dry.
You got a little shafty.
Yeah. Oh. And I see Dave afterwards like, where were you?
Did I miss you on the stage?
It didn't really work out, Dave. Like, I sat through that whole show. Where were you? And it didn't work out, Dave. Go put on a puppy shirt or whatever it is that you do. Should have known then not to trust that. He probably ruined it. Dave ruined it. Jinx. Anyway, happy birthday to Eddie Money, 66 years old today. We will perform together someday, Eddie.
Yeah, you will.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If I'm doing the math correctly.
You hate what? Piano.
Again with the piano.
Oh,
boy.
We love that last chord, man.
I'm a businessman. I got to keep moving. You know that. If I'm doing the math correctly, the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show is a week from Saturday, you guys.
What?
a week from Saturday.
Oh, I it's coming get some up tickets
on April the 2nd. And we, as you know, the last couple of weeks have been soliciting for you to contact us if you'd like to open the show. If you're a funny person, you'd like to be out on that stage at the Shrine ahead of all that great entertainment. And the deadline has passed, but we will unveil our top 10 so that you, the Kevin and Bean listener, can vote for who opens the show. That'll be next Monday, 1 week from today. We'll roll that out for you at krock.com. All right, Ralph, I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
You are going to explain to me and perhaps others listening who have never heard of the hot wife syndrome.
Yes.
It's in the news right now as a result of the Hulk Hogan lawsuit against Gawker, who put a sex tape of Hulk Hogan with a woman who was married to another man. Can you please fill us in and tell us about the hot wife syndrome?
Let's talk about the hot wife lifestyle. A lot of people are talking about this and not really understanding what it's about, so I thought maybe I would step in as someone who has a little bit of experience and knowledge in this world.
And a hot wife.
And a hot wife, for that matter, to try to explain to you exactly what this is all about. By all accounts, as we looked at the testimony during and throughout the trial between Hulk Hogan and Gawker, we found out that his, at the time, best friend, a guy known as Bubba the Love Sponge, who was a radio DJ in Tampa, Florida, Heather, his then-wife, was the woman that the Hulkster had sex with in this videotape.
Yeah, I did.
And thank you, Hulkster. And as more details came out about their relationship, it became apparent that Bubba and Heather had, at the time, what is known as they partook in the hot wife lifestyle.
All right.
Which is where a man not only allows but encourages his wife to have sex with other men. And then from beyond that, it can take on many forms. Either he's present at the time, or she will have sex with other men, then come home and tell him in very graphic detail what went on. Or in this case, apparently, it sounds like a Bubba the Love Sponge likes to record his wife's tryst with other men and then watch them himself for his own gratification.
So it's different from being swingers because he's not actively involved as well.
Right. And a lot of people can't understand it because most men are insanely jealous and would not be able to cope with the idea of their wives going out and having sex with other men. It would make them insanely jealous and furious.
I mean, that's half the fun of having a hot wife, is that she's your hot wife and you're the one who gets to have sex with her, nobody else, right?
Well,
for most people.
That's your perspective and most people's perspective. You're right. But when people indulge in this lifestyle, it is, well, there's many different facets to it. And by the way, if you happen to indulge or engage in this particular paraphilia, as it's known, is this
paraphilia,
this fetish, if this is something that you incorporate into your sexual lifestyle, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 1-800-520-10 what's the rest of it,
6-7
Yeah, I had a bad night's sleep last night. Call us and we'll talk about it, because it's kind of fascinating. It is to me anyway, because like being said, most men would not be able to cope with this. The jealousy would be out of control.
What's the thrill for the man in this case? And then I want to talk about what it's like for the woman. But what's the payoff for the man to have his wife go out and have sex with somebody else if he's not involved?
Here's the thing you need to recognize. That most fetishes and paraphilias, these sexual kinks, if you will, whatever you want to call them, there's no logic to them. It turns people on because it turns them on. But this is the basic story, what we hear from most men who enjoy this lifestyle. It is a combination of the swinging lifestyle, which adds sexual novelty and excitement into the relationship, instead of like in a swinging lifestyle where both members of the couple would go off and have sex with other people, this also incorporates sort of a dominance submission aspect to it, where the woman becomes the sexual dominant and she is having sex with other men, and this puts the man into a submissive position, and for some reason he finds that sexually arousing to him, to be submissive and to be sublimated by other more dominant men taking his wife. That's one aspect of it.
Okay.
Another aspect is, this is my wife, and men find her wildly sexually appealing.
So it's a reflection on you.
It's a reflection on them. This is my property, but men love to have sex with her, and they do have sex. They take it to the extreme where other men enjoy having sex with her, but she's still mine. She's my wife, and I possess her. So in a way, they get that reflected attention, that reflected sexual gratification.
I don't think you get a lot of credit if other men want to have sex with your hot wife. They would want to have sex with your hot wife whether she ever met you or not.
But she's yours.
Right. Yeah.
So you have that control. You're allowing that to happen. You're controlling that sexual relationship, even if you're not a part of it. Now, this at one time was known as cuckolding. The phrase hot wife is a fairly recent one. Cuckolding is an ancient term. It's an old English term that was reserved for men whose wives were cheating on them, basically. So the reason no one really uses that term anymore is because this is done completely with not only the man's permission, but usually with his encouragement.
This is
a participation that he wants his wife to engage in. It's almost always a male-female balance in terms of I'm saying not a lot of women get off on this in terms of watching their men be with other women. It's usually a man who wants his wife to be with other men, and invariably he is the one sort of giving her permission, and she is calling the shots sexually at home as well. Sometimes men stop having sex with their wives completely, and she only gets that sexual gratification outside of the relationship.
Wow.
Sometimes he can only be with her if she allows him to be. I mean, it can take on varying degrees. Wow. Of how they live their life, but it becomes.
By the way, if you could find a woman who gets turned on by you having sex with lots of other women, you should marry that one.
Yeah,
right?
But that, like I said, that's a pretty good deal. That's a rarity.
As Ralph mentioned, we want to take your phone calls if you participate in the hot wife syndrome, or if you just want to, you have questions about it or whatever. That is the topic on the table here at 1-800-520-10. What's the rest?
6-7.
Right. Yeah. Let me talk about the woman in the case, the Bubba the Love Sponge Hulk Hogan case for a second here, Ralph, because this was fascinating to me. It sounded like, in fact, she said this in the courtroom. Heather Cole said that she was not at all attracted to Hulk Hogan.
Right.
She had no interest in having sex with him. But her husband wanted her to, so she did.
Yes.
What's that about?
Often, women will acquiesce and engage in this lifestyle because they know it turns their husband or significant other on. I mean, ideally, it works best when a woman is enjoying the sexual freedom that this lifestyle allows her, and she's going off and engaging in it, and she also gets a positive sexual thrill out of it instead of just doing it for her partner. That almost never works out in any situation. If you're engaging in any sort of sexual lifestyle and you're simply doing it to please your partner, there's very little room for success in that sort of sexuality.
Yeah, that's right. Going to
eventually
a huge
resentment
problem.
Will build up, and you will and it'll start to break down the relationship. But and she says that she wasn't interested, but I mean, people say all kinds of things. You know what I mean?
Right.
I hate to admit that I watched the video, but it seemed like she was having a good time.
Well, he was doing due diligence for his job, though, Allie.
That's right, yeah.
I watched it, too.
And she said that Hulk Hogan was one of four men that she had had sex with that were not her husband at the encouragement of her husband, Bubba the Love Sponge.
Was it four?
I think that's what I remember.
Yeah. I know that she did it with Hogan a total of four times. She had sex with Hulk Hogan four times, once in her bedroom, once at his home, in Bubba's radio studio, and a Tennessee hotel. So for someone who didn't want to have sex with Hulk Hogan, she had it four times.
But she didn't want to have sex with him a lot of times.
A lot of times.
All right, let's take a call to get us started, and then we'll hold over and do some more after the break. 1-800-520-1067. Do we even have time, or should we just save these and come back?
Maybe we should save them and come back.
All right.
And Becca, if you have kids listening, sorry, oops. We should have put a disclaimer on this initially, I guess.
Becca, you hang on. I promise we will get to you. Don't go anywhere. Johnny, also, we will get to you first up when we return right after this. Talking the hot wife syndrome next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Well, maybe it's a good time for me to mention that parents with small children listening might want to be aware that this particular talk is intended for a more mature audience.
Sorry about that.
So now we put the warning
now,
on.
Now that we
spent 10 minutes talking about cuckolding.
Well, the hot wife. It sounds better than cuckolding.
It does.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because cuckolding, as I mentioned, cuckolding is when the guy doesn't know. It's going to be done behind his back. In a hot wife lifestyle, the guy is not only fully aware, but he's often encouraging the situation.
Sometimes
as
a result, hiding in the closet.
Yeah, true.
As a result of the Hulk Hogan trial that has been going on for the past couple of weeks, we were talking about the hot wife syndrome, which is in this case where Bubba the Love Sponge encouraged his wife to have sex with other men because that was a turn-on for him. Hulk Hogan was one of those other men. So we're discussing that, and we're talking to you if that is part of your lifestyle. Let's start with Johnny. He's in Burbank. He's on line two. He's up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Johnny, thanks for calling and holding on. You're into this hot wife syndrome, huh?
Yes, I am.
Tell us about it. How long have you guys been married?
We've been married for 14 years.
All right. And how often does this happen?
Probably about 2-3 times a month.
Oh, wow.
And how long have you been indulging in the hot wife lifestyle, Johnny?
It started about a year after we got married. I decided to try it out and see how I did, and it was just amazing to me, and just, I don't know, just gets me going, and So we do. We've been doing it ever since, and we've had children, and we stopped in between our children, and we continued after the children, and it's great.
What was the conversation like? And I assume it was you who suggested it to your wife when you sat her down and said, "Hey, how would you feel about going off and having sex with some other dudes?" Was that a tough sell for her? Or was she into it?
She was like, kind of. At first, she was just like, "What? Are you serious?" And I'm like, "Yeah, just what do you think?" And she kind of just said, "Well, yes, we could try it, you know." And we just been great ever since.
Hey, Johnny, are you there for it, or is she going off and doing it, then telling you about it?
No, I'm almost always there. About 90% of the time I'm there. Sometimes I'll wait outside, you know, but most of the time I'm there, I'm watching, and, you know.
Are you able to articulate, Johnny, what it is about that that is so exciting for you? Because a lot of men wouldn't understand, and I would like to help them.
I don't know. It's like watching my own little personal porno with my wife, I guess. I don't know. It's just really exciting.
Watching your wife being such a sexual being is an exciting thing for you to watch from the outside.
Yes, it is.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Now, do you, is it important in the way it works for you guys that you pick the man, or could she come to you and say, "Hey, there's this guy that I'd like to have sex with if you're down"?
Either or. I don't, I pick them sometimes. Sometimes she picks them, and I'm okay with both of it.
And it's worked out for you guys for a long time. It sounds like you're very happy.
Yeah, we're great. We're really good. We've been doing it for about an average of about 13 years. Yeah.
Wow. You think we'd get the same story from his wife, Ralph?
I think so. It sounds like they're very, very healthy, and they've had a lot of communication regarding this, and it seems like it's pleasant and pleasing both partners. And that's...
Well, I know you're coming to the next Kevin and Bean singles party. I know that. definitely figure that out. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Becca. Let's hear a woman's perspective. She's in Los Angeles, line one. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean show, talking about the hot wife syndrome. Becca, thank you for calling. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hey, Becca, you're sort of the rarity. You're the hot husband lifestyle, right? You like to watch your husband with other women.
Oh, no. He likes to watch
me. Okay. Oh, all right. Gotcha.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. My mistake. So,
all right. So we heard it from Johnny's point of view. Tell us how it developed with you and your husband.
We've only been married about a year now, but we've been together for almost a decade, high school sweethearts and all that. But it kind of just started to develop when... We broke up for a time, kids, whatever. And of course we had sex with others and he was just really interested in it. And it probably just really, he was really into it and told me about it, you know, before we got married, actually, that he would love for me to go out and experience other guys and for him to hear about it. So, I've only done it about twice since we've been married, since he really opened up about it, 'cause it's still really new for me, you know? But yeah, he really enjoys it. It's really odd for me a little still.
It has to be so weird for you, especially at the beginning. And you must have been so nervous the first time when you got home and you're thinking, okay, he thought this is what he wanted, but is it really going to be upsetting for him for me to do what he asked, which is to tell him in detail what went on?
Yeah, it definitely was a little weird, you know, and he really wanted to, like, talk about it. And I was a little hesitant because I was like, wait a second, like, this is private, but it's not private, you know, in a way, because he wants to know every detail. So it's really interesting. And, he just gets all randy about it.
Now, how did you find the partners? Did you seek them out or did your husband help?
It's the same. I mean, he tries to help out, but he'll pick, like, total, like, beefheads or something like that. He thinks, oh, man, they're really in shape. She'll like that. I'm like, they look like dorks, you know, or like douchebags. So he definitely tries, but, yeah.
It's better to let you pick about it, sounds like. Okay.
Yes, right now until he, I guess, gets the feel of it since we're still kind of new into it.
All right, Becca. Well, thank you so much for calling and sharing. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is from the Kevin Bean text line, by the way. If you ever want to contact the show and you're not able to call, you can to the number 2 KROQ. This is not part of my lifestyle. However, I work at a grocery warehouse where we had a dude who enjoyed doing this. He let about 15 dudes at work get at his wife so that he could watch.
Wow.
15 dudes at work. All right, let's try John, Los Angeles, up next, line 3. On the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John, welcome in. Now, you say that you played the Hulk Hogan part in this situation.
Yes, as Ralph would know it as an old phrase called as the bull.
Right. The bull is the dominant man who comes in and has sex with the wife, while the husband is the more submissive.
Got it. Okay. So how was this presented to you? When did you when did this encounter happen, and how did it unfold?
So at one time, she and I were actually on your show. We had what would be called a DS dynamic. And
that's
she
a dominance, dominance and submission, for those who don't know the lingo. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So what ended up happening is eventually hold on.
Sure.
Why,
take your time. We're fine.
So
why are we holding on?
Back to us when you're ready.
Sorry. I'm at work. So anyways, basically we had that relationship. She had a long upstanding relationship.
Right.
And then eventually she decided to put our relationship over the other one.
Gotcha.
Okay. Thank you for calling. We appreciate that.
It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that she did that, but
that had it anyways and basically in it. So that was the 1-2 punch. Let's close with Stacy. She's in Long Beach. She's up next. She's on line 4. Stacy, you get the final word. Where do you fit into this this love triangle?
Well, hi guys. I'm the wife.
You're the hot wife.
Currently the hot wife. Yes.
Okay. All right.
He brought it up to me in December, and I thought it was a joke. I was like, "Ha, what's the cap? What do you want? Like, you want to be with other women?" I thought eventually he just wanted to be with other women, and this was his way of...
Yeah, you thought this was his way of getting into an open marriage, right? I understand.
Yeah, and he said no. He said, I'm serious. He's like, I want to see you with other men. And I was like, so what, you're just going to be there, like, you know, kind of using your hand while we're there? Where are you going to be at? I mean, it was just really, really awkward, and We started, and it's amazing. It's still very nerve-wrecking. He does the screening, and then we meet up with the Don, and I have the final say. And he's always there. He's always there.
So he watches.
He's in the room?
He's in the room. Sometimes he's actually in the bed with us. But it's not a full-on threesome.
Right.
So gotcha.
He's just observing.
Is that a tough sell for the other guy to have sex with somebody else's wife, but to also have the husband standing in the room? Does that make it difficult?
It is. We do go through a lot of dongs, you know, a lot of guys that are not.
Is she saying dongs, Ralph? Is that what we're going through?
Dongs and dominance.
Okay, yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
No, don, like a guy.
I wondered if we were getting into the euphemism territory here.
No. He, a lot of the times we have to sell that. Clarify that it's not, it's a heterosexual thing.
Right, there'll be no man-man contact.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's no man-man. I mean, they sometimes want that, but I mean, obviously we're clear that. Right. We're clear with the rules and what we're willing to do and not do.
So this is something that he brought up that you weren't sure you were going to be into, but it sounds like you've come around and now you really enjoy it and it's working out well for both of you.
It is. Yes, it is, because it really clears the communication between us. I mean, we've been married for 5 years now, and it's really just, I mean, it's different. I mean, you can't sit here and talk about it with anyone.
Stacey, what would happen if he said to you, "All right, let's switch it up. Now I'm going to be with a woman, and I want you to watch"?
I mean, then I'd have to work on that, because I'm not comfortable with that. And it's funny, because it seems kind of like, well, really, but you're willing to. But I wouldn't be. I brought it up before. I said, well, do you want to try? He asked me how I felt about it, and I was like, I don't think I want that. I don't want to share with mine.
Most men who enjoy this really aren't interested in that. Yeah. Like your husband, sounds like he's pretty satisfied watching you be the sexual being while he is the observer.
Huh.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Stacy, glad you called. Keep doing what you're doing. We love Hot Wives.
Thanks for the call.
Garden State again. I haven't seen that movie in like a million years, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show here on a Monday morning, the pit bull of comedy. Our friend Bobby Slayton joins us next hour. It has been called the greatest first weekend of NCAA college basketball tournament history. We'll talk to Matt in a second here. It might be the greatest weekend of any weekend of the tournament, I think, with all of the crazy things that happened this weekend. It now seems like a million years ago, but on Friday, remember when Northern Iowa University beat Texas with a buzzer beater from half court?
Yeah.
Here's the call. Insane. Here's the call from the college, from Northern Iowa's play-by-play.
We're tied. You and I both. 3 seconds to play. Jesperson, a half court heave.
Two days later, the same team, Northern Iowa, is playing Texas A&M, and they've got – let's bring Matt Money Smith on from the Petrus Money Radio Show. They've got what? They've got how much of a lead with how much time left last night?
12 points. Up 12 points.
Yeah,
up 12 points. Even if you're shooting threes and the other team makes zero baskets, you still need to make four of them.
Right.
In 42 seconds.
In 42 seconds. All right. So how did they lose that game?
Well, let's see. They turned the ball over four times.
That's a problem.
In those 42 seconds, you know, and when you foul and players miss and you're going two or three for one, it was remarkable. One of my favorite things about what they do, and I think this is some people's least favorite thing, is showing the sad people. You know, the super sad folks that have traveled to wherever they are for that pod to watch these games. And just the misery on their faces, their stupid face tattoos, and they're painted up. Or in this case, with Texas A&M, it's all these, you know, very pretty Texas belles with their giant blonde hair that's teased out, and their mascara is running because they're crying, because this is the year a lot of people picked A&M to be that kind of three seed that could get into the championship game, and Northern Iowa is going to knock them out. And then the next shot is of all these Texas A&M people trying to get back into the arena who have been locked out because they left.
Who would leave at a game like that? That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, it was the most – it's the most improbable comeback I've ever seen in my life, save maybe, you know, the one highlight you always see of Reggie Miller against the Knicks, you know, the 9 points in 9 seconds or whatever it was.
Right.
Like, this is – I could not believe that it went down in that manner.
It was the largest last-minute deficit overcome in the history of college basketball. And by the way, if those two games that we mentioned, both involving Northern Iowa, had been the only things that happened this weekend, it would have been a satisfying weekend. But let's start adding up the craziness. Like, what else – what other game kind of blew your mind this weekend?
Take that game, Bean. So that was the – penultimate ending of the first round, right?
Right.
The ending was Cincinnati-St. Joe's, in which Cincinnati had the ball, dunked the ball, should have gone into overtime, save, I'm going to say, less than 1/1,000th of a second, in which that ball was touching the Cincinnati player's finger, and it was waved off, and St. Joe's moves on. That was the last game of the first round. So you have Jefferson hitting that half-court heave to send Northern Iowa on, and then you have in the Cincinnati St. Joe's game, the Cincinnati player wide open under the hoop to dunk a ball to send it into overtime, and it is waved off upon review because just a fingernail is still touching the ball, and that was the end of the first round. And those two things happened within 3 minutes of each other.
That's unbelievable. And there were so many buzzer beaters over the weekend. I mean, the Wisconsin game, that was a buzzer beater, right?
Yep. Yes, the Wisconsin game was a buzzer beater last night with Bronson Koenig to put them into the Sweet 16. And, I mean, really the only bad thing for us is, you know, if you consider the Pac-12 a home conference, and why wouldn't we? I mean, we have UCLA and USC here. They were terrible. I mean, the Pac-12 was just an abject failure in the tournament. They got seven teams in and only one is left in the Sweet 16, and even, you know, Oregon had issues with St. Joe's. So
yeah, that was a closer game than we thought. Now, explain to me how that works with the conferences. Like, there were six ACC teams. That's highly unusual, right? What is it about that conference that made them so strong this year?
It's, you know what? It's funny. I was talking to someone about this, and they brought up the Middle Tennessee win over Michigan State. And
yes.
Like, oh, biggest upset ever. And it's like, well, the one thing you have to remember is, you know, it's arbitrary why these teams are seated where they're seated. You know, and everybody that I kind of got the gist of what happened there in the world of college basketball said Middle Tennessee had no business being a 15 seed. You know, the problem is when you're a good team that plays in one of the – I mean, look at Northern Iowa. Does that look like an 11 seed to you?
No.
Heck no.
No.
You know, so I think that's what people forget. Is, yeah, if you just look at the numbers, it's a 15 that upsets a 2, and it happened to be Michigan State, which a lot of folks picked to win. But would you be less surprised were it a 7 seed that upset a 2? No. And I think that's kind of what people fail to understand. The ACC, yeah, you know, you can put their teams wherever you want and how they were seeded. But remember, that's just a number that's put next to a team's name. And all these teams that make it in, they're pretty good. They either won a tournament or they're you know, a team that put together a resume that warranted them being one of the 64 best in the nation.
That is a really, really good point, that those numbers are kind of arbitrary, and there could be lots of six-seed teams that are not as good as 14-seed teams. That's a really good point.
Yeah, like, you know, I do the Big Ten tournament every year, and Iowa at one point this year was a top-five ranked team. And I told anyone and everyone, that would listen, I said, let me tell you something, that team – they buckle under pressure. They for whatever reason, they have these great players that just cannot make a shot in the final 2 minutes of a game. There's no way that they're going to advance. And sure enough, they barely got out of the first round as a 7 seed and then ended up losing handily in the second round. So even though they're a 7 seed, I would have taken Middle Tennessee State over them every day of the week. And again, it's just because of whatever number they decide, because of these formulas, the RPI and the SOS and all this crap, to put them wherever they want to put them in that bracket.
All right, let's talk about Michigan State for a second, though. Are they not as good as their number 2 seed?
No, they're great. They are great.
And what? You know, they just had a bad night.
That win in the Big Ten tournament, and that is that's what's crazy about it, is that's one of Tom Izzo's best teams. 3 starting seniors. Denzel Valentine's probably going to be the player of the year if it's not Buddy Hield, the kid from Oklahoma. So you had everything. I mean, you had a do-everything, floor general, senior leadership point guard in Denzel Valentine, who is he's just a triple-double machine. He's not just a scorer. I mean, you're talking about somebody that's like 20 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists every game, and just done, over, because the team they faced, you know, could shoot threes and was
right,
making threes at an unconscionable rate.
Why did Middle Tennessee play so great against Michigan State but then be so terrible against Syracuse?
You know, I think that's the letdown factor. You know, when you're Middle Tennessee State and you have that type of celebration, and you know, it's and you have to come back and try to, you know, garner that.
You've already played your Super Bowl at that
exactly.
point. Exactly.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's hard, and that's why when you look at the statistics and the history of the tournament, rarely will you ever see a double digit seed get into the Elite Eight. You know, it's kind of like, okay, they might be able to win 2. But then, you know, it kind of catches up to them. Teams are no longer, you know, Michigan State, maybe they, you know, unfortunately for them, took it a little bit easy there and just got jumped. Because that's what happened, remember. They got jumped. They were down like 20-5 at the start
right.
of that game.
Yeah. They just misread the situation.
Exactly.
All right. So let's talk brackets for a second.
Okay.
99%+ of brackets were out on the first day. And was it Michigan State? That was a team that was in something like almost 50% of the brackets to have them in the Final Four, right?
It was I want to say they were the second favorite behind Kansas.
Wow.
I'm sure your friend RJ Bell could tell you that, but I'm pretty sure that Kansas was the favorite, and according to Vegas, they were the second favorite. So, you know, when you're talking about, I think as far as the big websites that host the brackets, they said Michigan State was pretty much in between 20% and 30% of their championship games.
Are there any brackets alive in the country that you know of right now, Matt, or are they all busted?
That are perfect?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're busted.
They're all busted. Okay.
Yeah, there's no chance.
Because
you're bad.
You're wrong and bad if you are still alive at this point, right?
I mean,
you don't know anything about basketball at this point.
Just think about yesterday and Saturday. You had a 10, an 11, a 12, a 13, a 14, and a 15 seed, all playing. I mean, there's no way that you would be able to pick the correct, you know, oh, my 14 is Stephen F. Austin, my 15 is Middle Tennessee State, my 13 is going to be Hawaii. I mean, it's just...
That would be insane, yeah. Oh, my God.
No way.
What a weekend. How are you feeling about the Sweet 16 weekend? Is it going to be... It's got to be a disappointment now, right?
Yeah, because, you know, it's a little more traditional. You know, when you look at it, I mean, you have one pod that has the 1-2. I think it's the South region has the 1-2, the 3, and the 4. So, you know, there's really not... there's nothing that's too exciting. You know, I think it's a 1-2. You have the Kansas pod, I think, is a 1-2-3-5. You have a 1-2-3-4. The only thing that's, you know, got the double-digit seeds is, you know, it's got the two pitted against each other, and they're two teams that we know. So it's not like you can craft a Cinderella story into Gonzaga or Syracuse, especially because their damn head coach at Syracuse was, you know, suspended for 9 games for cheating. So how do you want to make that into a Cinderella story? I think that's the one problem. Had Northern Iowa won, you know, you would
then
still
we'd have somebody to root for, yeah.
Exactly, that great storyline of that underdog that could still make that run, and that's pretty much all but gone.
All right, 2 quick questions before we let you go. We're talking to Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show on AM 570. And that is, number one, has Coach Sean Miller been to a doctor yet to find out why he's sweating through his clothes?
The only thing I can think of is, you know, I don't know if you've seen the studies, but some of that deodorant, it has the aluminum and it clogs your pores. Mm. And instead of just pitting like crazy, you sweat from the other parts of your body. So maybe he's just got to adjust to maybe a more natural.
Well, that people were saying, why isn't he wearing an undershirt? Oh, so we could sweat through that as well?
Yeah, he definitely got it going.
That was the worst. Last question, Matt. With some of the games being in Anaheim this weekend, will you go down and watch them in person, or are you a TV-only guy?
I like TV, just because of the whip around, you know. Right. And for the Sweet 16, you know what? That's not fair. Maybe I will. I very well might. If Northern Iowa had made it, then I think I probably would have gone to see that that sort of deal. But it's not, like, again, you know, it's kind of lost a little bit of its sizzle because that Cinderella factor is gone, and that's what makes – you know, March Madness kind of the madness part of it.
It really is. It's so unbelievable. I mean, we didn't even mention the Notre Dame player who the game at the end of the game. He had never scored a point.
And a freshman.
In a tournament game. I mean, it's just so many crazy stories. I mean, look, what's the old expression? This is why you play the games, because you never know what's going to happen. But just so much fun, wasn't it?
And that's why they call it madness.
You know, exactly.
You're right. You didn't even bring that up. Like, that game had no business going to Notre Dame. The fact that they didn't foul, they didn't extend the game, they got that ridiculous tip in to win, it's, you know, it's one of those. And that's kind of one of the fun things about going to Vegas to watch that first weekend. There's just so many different pods of people watching so many games, and you'll just hear this scream from across the room, and you're like, oh, what did I miss? What's going on? And there's people just on the floor screaming, why me? How did that happen?
Well, you can get so much more on this and all that's going on in the world of sports with the Petros Money Radio Show starting this afternoon at 3 o'clock at AM 570 LA Sports. And by the way, congratulations, Matt, to your whole station for picking up the Clippers games, too. That is awesome that they've got a new home in Southern California as well.
Very excited. Yeah, very excited to have both of those, Dodgers and Clippers. Thank you, Bean. Thank you, Allie.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Hooters.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
KROQ and K-Rock.
At Hooters commercial is a thing.
It sure is.
Sure is a thing.
Just got hosed.
All right. We've been talking about the hot wife syndrome. We've been talking about college basketball. That's what's on our mind. What's on your mind? We're opening up the phone lines right now for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Any topic, 1-800-520-1067. You got comments. You got questions. You got problems. It's your chance to be on the show. We'll take your calls coming up right now, 1-800-520-1067. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's new?
As Bean mentioned, we were talking about the hot wife lifestyle because of the news story with Hulk Hogan having sex with his best friend's wife at his best friend's bequest. It was his idea. He wanted to see his wife be with another man, and Hulk was kind enough to oblige, which I thought was nice. This email came in regarding that conversation we just had on the air. My husband and I partake in the hot wife lifestyle. For example, I was on vacation for 2 weeks banging around while my husband stayed home doing his job as a DJ, Donna Baxter, which I thought that was nice of her to write in.
Hold on a second here.
Very cool of Donna to write in and participate in the show.
Wait a minute.
That's very cool.
So. Not how I understood it happened.
Yeah, maybe it's not exactly hot wife because the husband in question was unaware.
Yes, very unaware until this moment. Thank you.
Different situation. Speaking of that lawsuit, congratulations to the Hulkster. He is $115 million richer today.
That's right, brother.
Happened on Friday. We should talk to the Hulkster this week,
nope,
maybe.
We should. The Hulkster has very little to say.
Let's talk to the Hulkster. It was a lawsuit against Gawker Media. They run the Gawker website as well as some other celebrity gossip websites. And they did post the sex tape of Hulkster and his wife's best friend. And Hulk said, hey, stop that.
Is that what he said?
Well, more or less. He did sue them for emotional distress, for economic damages, and the jury saw things his way. It took them 6 hours to deliberate on the verdict. They awarded him $60 million for emotional distress, $55 million for economic damages. That's $15 million more than he had even sought. So the grand total came to $115 million in the judgment. Now, of course, Gawker, as announced immediately after the results of that jury came in, that they would appeal the decision. So we're in for a legal battle that's going to last for some time. But at least the first round goes to the Hulkster. Congratulations, Hulkster.
Thank you, brother.
It's uncanny. It's like he's in the room with us. It's really nuts. It is a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Congratulations to Zootopia, once again the big winner. For the weekend, $38 million. Made it number one this week. Third week in a row. It's atop the top 10 list. The Divergent series Allegiant was number two with $29 million. Then Miracles from Heaven. That's the movie where God drops a kid on her head. So seems a little cruel to me, but what
not
do I know? Who
really
am I to question
happens.
The ways of God? But isn't that what happens,
no.
Allie?
The kid falls out of a tree
uh-huh.
and is cured of the ailment that she had before
because
she fell out of the tree.
She hit her head on the ground.
Because miracles happen.
And then everyone said, oh, well, it's God. God did that miracle. God dropped the kid on her head.
Well,
that's
you can
what
look
cured
at it that
her.
Way.
To which I said on Friday, couldn't he just step in a cure without the dropping on the head part?
Right.
And I said,
wouldn't a nice God do that?
That's not a good movie.
That's not a good movie, right?
Well, God doesn't need to do magic tricks, for God's sakes.
Or do magic tricks, but don't drop a kid on her head out of a tree.
Right.
Well,
I think
each his own.
I think Ralph knows better than God.
God's got some splaining to do. That's
really?
All I'm saying. 10 Cloverfield Lane was fourth. Deadpool was fifth. London Has Fallen, Whiskey Tango, Foxtrot, The Perfect Match, The Brothers Grimsby, and Revenant are your top 10 movies at the box office.
Not that delightful movie that The Flying Nun is in. What's her name? Sally Field?
I don't think that's out yet, is it?
I feel like you did
Hi,
it.
Hi, my name is Doris.
Yeah.
Is it out? Maybe it's
maybe
a
not in
release.
Wide release.
Yeah, that's why I didn't show up.
Okay.
Speaking of box office, I wasn't going to bring this up, but as an aside, we talked about The Bronze last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the the comedy with Melissa Rauch.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
She plays a former gymnast
hysterical.
Who now is sort of a has-been, but she's
Tanya Harding type.
Desperate to hold on to what little fame she had, and she's foul-mouthed, and apparently it's quite the R-rated comedy. One of the biggest bombs in movie history this weekend. Made an average of about $360 per screen that it was on, making it one of the top five lowest-grossing movies of all time. So
That's bad.
A lot of people not going to see that.
I wonder what went wrong with that. I mean, it has Gary Cole in it and a couple of other people that are real funny.
And I've heard from people who've seen it said it's funny. But I don't know. So Brother Grimsby and The Bronze not doing so well.
The Adam McKay Film Festival is in trouble.
Right. No wonder Sally Field screwed.
Oh, I love her.
You know, she's been doing a lot of interviews for that film lately. She's charming. We should
she
get her on our
an
show.
She's absolute delight
she's
of a human
She's funny and sort
being.
Of bawdy and smart, and she's got great stories.
She's amazing. One of my favorites.
She's delightful, right?
Thank you. Yeah. Fine.
She's a bitch.
Oh,
no.
Come on. She was Aunt May, too, from Spider-Man.
National treasure.
Rosie O'Donnell's 54 years old today while we're talking about national treasures, right? Rosie? Oh, she's so unlikable. Remember when she was America's Sweetheart?
Everyone
she had that
loved
daytime
her.
Talk show, and everyone's like, oh, she's the best. She's sweet, and everyone loves her.
And then she
and
told
then
Tom Selleck, you can't have your guns, and then, boo!
It all went south.
Yep.
Matthew Broderick's 54. Gary Oldman is 58 years old. And the money man, Eddie Money, 66 years old today. Hit it, Steve!
I've got two tickets
tickets to paradise in my pants.
Nope.
Right?
I'd like to punch him in the face.
No,
oh,
Donald.
Wow.
Sit down.
Get him out of here.
I'm Ralph Garman. I watch Showbiz Beat.
The Pitbull of Comedy. Bobby Slayton joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Monday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're taking your phone calls right now on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. You know what might be it might be interesting. You can call on anything you want if you've got something in the news or something that's going on in your personal life. You got comments, questions. Anyone who wants to get on the air will take your calls now, 1-800-520-1067. What might be interesting, Allie, is to ask this question. Who blew you away when they contacted you on social media? Like, what celebrity did you hear from that made your heart explode because you were so happy and honored and touched? Because it happened to me today.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
like, life-changing?
Like, life-changing. Like, I may just deactivate my Twitter account. Please don't everyone get all excited at once. Because
it'll never get better.
It'll never get better. What's the point of continuing to use social media once I have already been contacted by this person?
Wow.
I feel like it's time to just drop the mic and walk out of the room. I may have to quit the radio show too. I may just be done communicating with people because I have fulfilled my destiny on
this
planet.
Person? So we could thank them.
How dare you? I mean, it would be like Ally McKay if all of a sudden you woke up one day and flipped on your phone and there was a message from Conan.
Oh, my God.
Like you wouldn't be able to deal, right? You would just freak out. Well, I'll tell you in a minute who I heard from today, but I may never be the same. That's my whole thing. It's changed me in ways that I don't think I've started to realize yet. But if you want to call about that or any other topic, 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin Beans. What's good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed? Thank you, Miley or Nikki, whichever one of you that is. Let's go to John first in Los Angeles. He's up on line 3 to get us started on this edition of Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hey, John, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys, what's going on? How you doing?
What's going on with you?
Dude, March Madness has made me broke. I'm not going to be able to pay rent. I don't think I'm going to be able to buy lunch for another week.
It's that bad.
Oh, it's bad. It is bad.
How much money did you put in?
You know what? I think I threw in somewhere around 600.
Oh, my goodness.
Not bad.
And which games did you get burned on the most?
So last night, I was like, all right, it's Sunday. We got the Oregon game on. I'm going to try to recoup everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And went in all in on it. You know, just really put the throttle down.
Uh-huh. But they won.
They won, but the spread was 7.5.
Oh, the spread. Ooh. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So but the good news is the tournament's not over. You've got next weekend to make it back and more. I think you double down, my friend.
That's great advice.
You double down.
You know, you're a wise man. I'm going to take your word for it.
John, don't do it.
I'm going to sell my car and I'm going to go right back in.
John.
I think that's the only way to go. Well done, sir. Thank you for the call. Let's try Josh Roland Heights up next. He's on line 1 on the Kevin Beans Show. Josh, we appreciate you calling. What's good?
Well, I just wanted to talk about the new 100 millionaire named Hulk Hogan.
That's right, brother.
Basically, I just want to say Gawker is screwed because before they can move on with any appeal, they have to put at least $150 million in bond before the appeal can go forward.
Uh-oh. That's right. You're right. And they don't have that kind of money, right?
Well, I believe they are $300 million in assets. That being said, they also haven't had punitive damages added in, which in the state of Florida is 3 times compensatory damages. So when it's all said and done, the Hulkster may be halfway there to $1 billion.
Wow. Isn't it so interesting that something that happened to somebody else across the country you wouldn't think would have any effect on you? But it really is. If this company goes out of business and there's no more Gawker and there's no more Deadspin and there's no more these other websites that they own, like Jezebel, now you're affecting me.
Well, the thing is about all of them, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. Because during the fappening, if you remember that with Jennifer Lawrence, they cried, oh, this is a crime, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, here's Hulk Hogan. And they say, hey, check out Hulk Hogan's giant Wang.
Yeah, somehow he's newsworthy, but everyone else, it's a horrible disservice.
That's a really good point, and I think Ralph brought that up earlier today too. Is that they had a terrible defense. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating case, and it will be interesting to see the long reaching effects of what websites are willing to take a risk on putting up on the net when they see a verdict like this come down against a media outlet. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's try Eric Corona, please. He's up next. He's on line 2 on the Kevin Beans Show. Eric, what's good, my friend?
What's happening, Kevin and Bean?
You tell us.
Hey, for a country that incorporates every township and city and town and everything else, we're a giant corporation. And we need someone like Donald Trump, who's the CEO of a major corporation, to come in and, you know, make our country great again. So for a reason that we have somebody to support Donald Trump, you know, it has nothing to do with what he says and what he does as a jerk or whatever. He's a proven CEO who can take care of this country. It is basically just a big country, big corporation on its own.
All right, slow down, Eric. I respect your opinion, and I appreciate that you called, but running a government is not the same thing as running a business. Look, every time Donald Trump says something like, we're going to make Apple build their phones in America, that's something you can do if you're running a business. You can order people to do stuff. That's not how it works when you're the president. You can't order private businesses to do what you want.
Yellow.
Eric, are you there?
Say, you know, my point is there is that.
But I'm saying they don't operate the same way. Right, but they don't operate the same way because the government is not a business. You can't run a government like a business. Now, if you want to take aspects of I run businesses to be profitable and I think the United States should be more careful with its money and should not spend more than we make, you can make an argument that, yeah, maybe it's time for somebody who understands a little fiscal responsibility to be at the head of government. But you can't just order people to do things. That's not how it works. Half of the things that Donald Trump says he's going to do are unconstitutional, like literally against the law, and he thinks he can do them just because he's been the head of a company for a long time where he owns it and he can do whatever he wants. It doesn't work that way when you're the president.
Eric, well, how do you think he's going to react to a group like ISIS when he is scared out of his mind of Megyn Kelly from Fox News Channel?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a good answer for all the other political things that you're talking about because I'm not a politician. I'm not a political guy. You know, I just understand that our country is every town and corporation that we have can go boom or bust, the same as every state.
I hear you.
I
understand.
You know, so we need somebody who understands that and can take control of that aspect of it. And
well,
really
he has had a lot
again.
Of companies that have gone bust. So
I appreciate the
know.
Call, Eric. And look, I think you speak for a lot of people who say, hey, it's time to have an outsider come in who's going to run things differently. I totally get the frustration, and I wish you well, my friend. Thank you for calling. Let's do one more, and let's make it Jacob LaHabra. He's on line eight. I was talking about you were blown away when you got contacted on social media by a celebrity. I'll tell you what happened to me this morning. First, let's hear what happened to Jacob. Welcome to the show, sir.
What's going on, Kevin and Bean? How you guys doing?
What's good? Who'd you hear from?
Actually, it was Jesse Hughes from Eagles of Death Metal.
Nice!
Yeah, he's such a rad guy, but I was just on social media, saw somebody's picture of a concert, and it was a friend, actually, and I commented, I said, hey, man, that would be rad to, like, sit in on the session and just kind of, you know, mess around on the drums and guitars and whatnot. And he actually randomly messaged me back and tagged me and said, hey, let's do this.
So you're now in Eagles of Death Metal.
it hasn't happened yet, but I know they had a bunch of stuff go down, but I'm still waiting for that reply. So that would be really cool if someday this can actually pan out.
Well, I hope it does. And that's one of the awesome things about social media is you really do have interaction with people that you admire and you can hear back from them. So that's one of the fun things about it.
That was the big shock. You know, I didn't think, my little comment would draw such attention, but I guess it did.
Thank you for calling.
We'll see what happens.
Thank you for listening, Jacob. We appreciate it. All right, so here's the deal. So I tweeted over the weekend. I was in New Orleans, and a lot of people will yell at me because I'm in New Orleans, maybe the greatest food city in America.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I went to IHOP on Saturday.
Because
I love IHOP. You know how I am. Sure. I love IHOP. Sure. So I tweeted on Saturday, the waitress at IHOP just called me honey. And then in all caps, why does every woman have to fall in love with me? And I thought, oh, that was fun, and that was funny. And I think there was a real spark there between me and Doris. But anyway, so this morning I wake up, and who do I have a tweet back from but
Doris.
At IHOP, mother effers. I hear from IHOP, and they tweeted me, look at you, it's hard not to. So even IHOP acknowledges that I'm just so darn irresistible. So now, do I have to delete all my accounts because I heard from IHOP?
I hope you do.
I thought you'd say that. What's good? This is the world we live in. Kurt Cobain is gone, but Bobby Slayton is still alive. What's happening here, you guys?
You know, this really is crazy, isn't it?
He is the Pitbull of comedy, ladies and gentlemen, a comics comic back in town this weekend for big shows at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. Friday night, two shows. Saturday night, two shows. Tickets available at flapperscomedy.com, just $20. How are you, Robert?
I'm fine, thank you. You know, it's very weird. You know, I come in here all the time prepared. I have things I want to talk about, and I always have things to discuss. And I find out that Kevin's on vacation. It's just being. Which I'm not saying that I can't just talk to you. I love talking to you, but it's like Abbott and Costello. You never turn the mic just to Costello or the Three Stooges. Moe's not here. You should be like Abbott and Costello where you vacation together. You sleep in the same bed with the monkey.
They do that.
Yeah, I know they do that. But
Bobby, here's the thing, and we've talked about this many times over the years. We could take vacation at the same time, but then the show is not on live, and then we have to do best of. So what we've decided to do is split up our vacation so that the Kevin and Bean show can still be on the air, even if it's down a man.
That That makes sense, because if you were on vacation too, I would not be here right now.
Exactly. See? So this is better for you. Now, we got a lot of ground we got to cover with you, Bobby. Not the least of which is, you know, you always come in and you badmouth your wife and you talk about how what a miserable 30 years it's been.
Yeah.
But it sounds to me like you're starting to appreciate the little lady because you almost lost her.
It's very hard to be funny about it. But you know, to make a long story short, my wife and I very rarely take vacations because I'm on the road all the time. And, you know,
and she doesn't want a vacation with you.
And I don't want a vacation with her. But, you know, for the most part, things are fine. You know, considering in showbiz or the fringes of showbiz, the fact that we're together 30 years, how many people, you know, anytime you hear about a Kardashian or Britney Spears or some idiot athlete, none of these people ever stay married. And it's not like the old days with Spencer Tracy and Katherine Hepburn or Humphrey Bogart. You very rarely do you see an Angelina Jolie and a Brad Pitt. People very rarely stay together. So there's something to be said about our marriage, the fact that I'm on the road. Anyway, we're on vacation. Valentine's Day weekend. I figure, okay, I don't work because nobody wants my act for Valentine's Day because I always bash women. And if I may digress for a second there, Bean, I would think you would want to hire me for Valentine's Day because I make fun of women so much in my act that I think the most women walk out of my show looking at their husbands going, God, I thought you were an a-hole. But you're nothing compared to the Slayton guy, and you appreciate your husband even more.
That's a good point.
So I take my wife away. We go to Mexico in the mountains, a beautiful little town, San Miguel de Allende, where there are no traffic lights, no stop sign, and thank God, no Asian drivers. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
but
dear.
It was pretty bad. And it's all, you know, cobblestone streets. And my wife and I were walking across the street. She got hit by a car.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, she's okay. She's fine. But she broke her hip, which is not good, especially at her age. But it could have been worse. But the interesting thing was she got hit by an insured American in Mexico, where a lot of people here get hit by uninsured Mexicans in America. She went the exact opposite, bizarro version.
Yeah, she's flipping the script.
Right. So the rest of our vacation, she spent in a hospital in Mexico for a week. So that was not fun.
What are Mexican hospitals
like? In all honesty,
did
she leap in front of the car?
No, in all honesty, I pushed her because no. The car was coming at her, and it was you think quickly. It's one or the other. And if I would have got hit, I'm the breadwinner. If I would have got hit, she would have been left to her own devices. Better her than me, and that's all I was thinking.
I think that's an impressive thing for a man to say about his wife. It's better her than me.
And you wonder how we stay married for 30 years. You got to think about other people. And I thought about me. But anyway,
she's okay now, right?
Here's what happened. What's interesting, and I don't mean to make fun of this, but, you know, because it really was a horrible situation. We finally got her out of Mexico, and, you know, American Airlines could not have been better, you know, with the wheelchairs and the – I mean, she was in really bad shape. But we got her home, and our insurance company came through, and we have in-home care for, like, a day. And all of a sudden, she passes out, gets rushed to the hospital. It turns out in the Mexican hospital, she was coughing a lot and developed pneumonia, double pneumonia. But these idiots didn't know because anybody in Mexico that knows how to do anything is already in the United States. So, and Donald Trump's going to wreck all that by sending them back. So we were in a Mexican hospital, and you ask what it's like. It was like one flew over the cuckoo's nest with Nicholson, but nobody spoke English. So you're talking to a bunch of mental patients. I don't know. Bean, I don't know how they got the jobs, but, you know, and they meant well, but it was awful, and it makes you appreciate healthcare in America.
Well, I will tell you that it is not just Mexican hospitals where people get sick. There's a vast number of people who develop infections in a hospital.
So we get her home. We think she's okay, and she passes out. They rush her to the hospital, and they said, your wife's got double pneumonia, a bleeding ulcer. She almost bled to death. Nobody knew. And
Holy moly. Yeah, you're the worst person ever to vacation with. That woman was healthy when she left with you, Bob.
The next time when she's going to be out in a month, she's in rehab now. And when she gets out and she says, we haven't been on vacation in a couple of years, I'll be able to say, remember what happened last time we went on vacation? You really want to go through. But anyway, it was just.
Now, do you have a backup wife? Like, she's kind of out of commission right now. Do you have, you know, hose in all the area codes?
Well,
is that how you roll, Bobby?
Not yet, but you can get a rescue wife from the shelter. You know, they have them. They have the older ones with no teeth. You want an older one. It's not going to be around too long. You want to get the rescue wife, but I haven't done that yet.
Okay. All right.
But she was supposed to get out next week and in 2 weeks, and they said, you know, she's not better because she's got to get rehab. They said she could do it at home, but I go, she can't come home because I got to go to New York for 2 weeks and work on a show. So I feel bad abandoning my wife, but I can't take her out of the hospital, you know.
So she just is gonna have to live there for the rest of her life. I'm sorry, honey, this is your new home.
Well, if she lives for a month, yes, for the rest of her life. If she happens to go beyond that, then I get the rest. You know, what's interesting though, Bean, is that, you know, my wife said to me, and it really is a horrible situation, but, you know, I take care of the house when she's always around. down. We had a housekeeper that left a couple of months ago, so my wife's been cleaning the house and doing things. And so, you know what? I don't mind cleaning the kitchen. I like cooking. I don't mind doing my part around the house, but I've never made the bed. I'm not a bed maker. And my wife will say to me, why don't you make the bed? And I go, I don't see the point of making the bed, because in 12 hours, the bed is going to look exactly how it looks now. I say to my wife, you want the bed made? You make the bed. So yesterday, I visit my wife at the rehab place, and she says to me, have you been making the bed? I go, I'm not making it. She says, what if people come over? I go, first of all, nobody's coming over. And number two, honey, even if somebody comes over, they never go in our bedroom to look around. My friends don't go in my bedroom and start looking at my medicine cabinet to see what we're taking. I said, nobody's going to come in the bedroom. She goes, I said, if anybody's going to come in the bedroom, the only person that would ever come in the bedroom would be a hooker. And I don't think an unmade bed is going to be a deal breaker, okay?
So, not compared to the task in front of them when they come to your house, Bobby.
Right, exactly. So that's how I stay married 30 years.
There you go. There's the secret, ladies and gentlemen. The Pitbull of Comedy is here. Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, flapperscomedy.com. Tickets just $20 to see Bobby Slayton. More in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Wake up, you need to make money. Yeah. Bobby Slayton, I'll give you $100 if you can tell me who just sang that song.
That was, I think, the Eagles.
I dodged the bullet there. I was nervous.
I know an Eagle song when I hear one.
That's right.
You played classic rock. That was great.
Pitbull of Comedy is here. Our friend Bobby Slayton back on the Kevin Abid Show. Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank this weekend. That's a place that you like playing, right, Bobby?
That seems to be
your home in Southern California. It seems to be your favorite place.
I'll tell you why I like playing there. Because, you know, living in the Valley, you know, I used to play the Comedy Magic Club all the time, and which is a great club. But, you know, from the Valley to drive down there, even when the people aren't working, even on a Saturday, has taken me well over an hour. The Irvine Improv, which I won't be till August, this could be the earliest plug ever in the history of plugging gigs.
August of this year?
Yeah, and hopefully by then maybe you'll be on vacation and Kevin will be back. But I like to see the two of you together again. It's almost like the Beatles. It's just weird just watching McCartney without the rest of the guys. But anyway, every time I play down there, I get a hotel room because my wife goes, why do you have to stay in Irvine? I go, because to drive from the Valley has literally taken me 4 hours, even if I leave at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, it can be rough,
What's great about Flappers, it's in Burbank, it's by my house, and Burbank, it's not the old Burbank that, if anybody's old enough to remember, Johnny Carson used to make fun. It's a great, Burbank has become great restaurants, great little shops. You know, you start to appreciate L.A. when you go on the road. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I'm in Youngstown, Ohio, and then I went to Pittsburgh, I went to Cleveland, these very depressed little cities. And for those of you that live in the Valley, or even, let's say, in Orange County, we have the most civilized mini malls here. You go to a mini mall here, and there's a sushi bar. I go to this one mini mall. There's a sushi bar, a doggy boutique. My wife will go to this nail salon. I pick up my dry cleaning, and I get some frozen yogurt.
All at the same.
If you're in Florida with this white trash in, like, Jacksonville, you'll see there'll be a liquor store, a pawn shop, an adult bookstore, and a gun shop, and a liquor store. You know, so, like, you go in there.
I got to move to Florida.
Yeah.
It's like a party.
It's so depressing. It's like you pawn your stuff, you buy a gun, you get a bottle of booze, you get a dirty magazine, you sit in a car, you get drunk, you diddle yourself, and you shoot yourself in the head. It's like a one-stop suicide center. So I like Burbank. It's a place that everybody made fun of 5-10 years ago. But when you live in the Valley, you know, and I hate to sound like an old fart, you got Gelson's, you got Whole Foods, and you got the mini malls.
Far past being concerned about sounding like an old fart, Bobby. Those days are long behind you.
I'll tell you what an old fart I am. Like I said earlier, you know, with my wife being in the hospital, it's awful. And, you know, I go, okay, I got the house to myself for 3 weeks. My brother's there watching the dog for when I have to go, you know, on the road. And the most exciting thing I'm doing is we made a giant pot of chicken soup the other night because we both had a cough. And when my wife got, I mean, it's horrible, she's in the hospital, but at least I could have some fun. I'm making chicken soup. I've become an old Jew without moving to Florida. How did this happen to me?
That is that's a red letter day right there at the Slayton house.
Yeah.
All right. Is this true? I can't imagine it is.
Yes.
Are you part of the new, highly touted, much anticipated Woody Allen series on Amazon.com?
Yeah, and I'm not allowed to even talk about it. But you know what, Woody doesn't let you talk about. So I mean, I can mention that in a minute. But you know, the other day, by the way, that's why I couldn't do your April foolishness this year.
We didn't invite you.
Well, you did invite me. First of all,
I voted against it.
The Mexican invited me. What's his name?
Dave,
the Mexican. Yeah, he invited. It wouldn't be the same for me coming on here and not making fun of him. But he calls me like a month ago and asked me to do it. He did the same thing last year and I think the year before. You can't call a comic 2 or 3 months before a gig and ask him to do it. I couldn't do it because I had another gig.
Bobby, you live in the world, though. You know the secret of inviting people to dinner that you don't want to go to dinner is you wait until you know they'll have to say no before you extend the invitation. That's how we do it with you and foolishness.
Okay, then I don't feel so bad.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
It played out exactly the way it's supposed to. Is, oh, let's make sure Bobby's got a gig, and now let's call and invite him to foolishness.
Okay, good. Well, I had the gig, and then I had to cancel that gig, too, because of the Woody Allen thing.
So what are you doing? I mean, you said you can't say much, but, I mean, to tell us about it. Like, how does it work? A representative from Mr. Allen calls and gets Mr. Slayton on the phone to make the offer? Did you have to audition or what?
No, I didn't have to audition because I know the guy, and you know, but they still wanted to see when they wanted me to come in, and then they said, well, Woody doesn't need to see him. And then the casting person said, can you just send his acting reel? I go, well, and my acting reel is basically me. Being me. I don't think I've really, you know, whether it was that TV show Mind of the Married Man on HBO, I'm a fast-talking Jew from Chicago, or Dreamgirls, I'm a fast-talking Jew from Florida, or whether it's Get Shorty, I'm a fast-talking Jew from Vegas. I'm not Meryl Streep or Robert De Niro where I learned how to play the violin or get an accent.
Right. It's you know what you're getting when you hire Bobby Slayton.
And it ain't much. It's just this right here. So, you know, I don't do voices. I'm no Ralph, you know? I mean, it's me. So, so then Woody just offered me this part. They said, well, it's a small part, but it's not a small part for me. It's a lot of lines. And I'm afraid to even work with an acting coach because you're not allowed to show the script to anybody.
Amazon came to Woody Allen and said, we will pay you a lot of money to do anything, whatever you want. And he accepted. But then all I ever heard after that was every time he would be asked about it, he would be like, I regret that I said yes. I don't want to do it. I don't know how I got into this. So you're saying he eventually got past all that and put a script together of something he's shooting.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So
who else is in it, Bobby? I heard at one point that Miley Cyrus was going to be in it.
Miley Cyrus? Well, that's public knowledge. It was on the internet. You know, Miley Cyrus and Elaine May from Nichols and May.
And then
the other day, I'm reading on the internet that Woody just added all these people to the cast. Lewis Black and Joy Behar and Michael Rapaport and about five people I never heard of. But no mention of me. But that's okay. Maybe I'm the secret guest star weapon that I'm not supposed to talk about.
That is going to be so much fun, though, just to be in a Woody Allen movie, right?
Hey, it's just going to be fun to be in a Woody Allen project and be in New York for a couple of weeks. And
that's awesome. When's that coming out? When are they going to start rolling this?
I have no idea. Okay. I'm not allowed to talk about anything. I just go and I do my little scenes and I hope I don't screw up. And then I...
Well, congratulations, Bobby, sincerely. I mean, that's really awesome that you're doing that.
But let's not forget I'm at Flappers next week.
Let's
focus on the big picture. All right? Who needs a Woody Allen project? Big deal. It's like Quentin Tarantino. Anybody can do that. But Flappers, how many people get to play Flappers?
Exactly.
Next Friday, Saturday night.
Flappers Comedy Club is flapperscomedy.com. Tickets available starting at just $20 for the great Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of comedy this weekend. We love you, man. Keep us posted how you're doing, okay? And our best to your wife, sincerely.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
Whoa, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Smell it. Oh, it was horrible.
Oh, it was horrible indeed.
It really was.
I want to go to that party.
I didn't.
I go away. I go out of town for 1 week, and Beer Mug ends up having sex with Ally McKay. How did that happen?
What that is at all?
It's Beer Mug eating a Shake Shack burger.
Mm-hmm. Ally
being repulsed at a completely different location about something else.
Two great tastes
that taste great together.
Yeah. It certainly does taste great together, though. I love that.
Yeah. I don't love it.
All right. It's Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's our good friend Ralph Garman. What's happening?
Well, because it's Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office from the weekend to see what people went to see in their local cineplexes. Zootopia was the big winner for the third week in a row. Number one, $38 million. It's pretty strong. I think it's close to $200 million now. Oof. In 17 days of release or something like that.
These are not people. Just remember that.
That's true. They're animals.
It's animated, right. Mm-hmm.
But they talk like people. The divert...
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, say again?
I don't know why, but...
What's up, country?
I became Forrest Gump all of a sudden. The Divergent series, Allegiant, $29.1 million. Number two at the box office.
I've heard that folks have been... underwhelmed by that movie.
It's
compared to the others.
Diminishing returns, apparently, this series. Yeah, they're not.
That's a shame because I really liked that first one a lot.
Miracles from Heaven was third. 10 Cloverfield Lane was fourth. Deadpool was fifth. London Has Fallen came in at number six. Then Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, The Perfect Match. Brothers Grimsby at number nine with only $1.4 million. And then The Revenant, still basking in some Oscar glow, picked up the 10th slot in the list this weekend. Anybody watch The Passion last night? The Passion?
I dipped in long enough to know it was not for me.
Oh, so you hate Jesus. Fine.
No.
Okay, whatever.
No,
no
I don't.
That's fine.
But it was a lot of watching people carry a cross down a street. It was a lot of that.
Yeah. Little guy named Jesus.
Jesus.
That's what I got to tell you about. It was Fox's live musical telling of Jesus' final days on Earth. Got solid ratings, but unspectacular, says Variety. There was some stiff competition, of course. Little Big Shots. We talked about how massive Little Big Shots is over there on NBC.
Sure.
Now that's the Steve
the kid
Harvey
comes
show.
Out, a kid comes kids. Out and hits a golf ball and everybody cheers or something. I'm not sure what happens. But I was making fun of it last week and somebody got very upset with me. Like, a child came out and played Flight of the Bumblebee and it was amazing. You should watch something before you mock it. Yeah, it's still a kid playing Flight of the Bumblebee, though, right?
Right.
That's not a TV show.
No matter how good it is,
right?
The best it can be, it's still just right. A kid playing Flight of the Bumblebee.
Yeah, that's not a TV show. It's a recital.
Right.
It's something you walk out of if you sit in the back of the auditorium.
Oh.
It's something you're forced to see because you have to watch your dumb kid doing something
right.
else on stage.
Because your kid's coming up next to break dance.
You're dead to me.
In the variety show, so you have to sit through the kid playing Flight of the Bumblebee. Anyway, monster hit for NBC. And then, of course, Walking Dead was on at the same time. But this had Tyler Perry and Trisha Yearwood and Chris Daughtry and Seal, and they all sang about Jesus. And
I have a clip from The Passion Live last night.
I'd love to hear some of it.
Hear what the music sounded like.
My rhymes are fly, my beats are sick. My crew is big, and it keeps getting bigger. That's because Jesus Christ is my...
They really put a Tyler Perry spin on it.
I'm sorry that I didn't tune in. That sounded entertaining to me. Me? Me? You know what is entertaining? Daisy Ridley. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. She's entertaining, right?
A great actress.
Right, that's
and
what I'm saying,
a lovely
Allie.
Woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Giggity,
yeah. Giggity, not sure what you're getting
yeah.
at.
Talent, right? Talent.
Very talented
yeah,
actress.
Yeah, very talented.
Seems like quite a lovely girl, too. Woman.
Lovely.
What are you
giggity,
getting at?
Giggity.
Delightful.
Yep. All those things.
She, of course, is Roy? Who is she?
Ray.
In Star Wars.
Ren.
And she's coming back, of course, for episode 8. Mm-hmm. She tells Entertainment Weekly that Luke Skywalker is so cool in this upcoming movie. I can't wait for Luke to just be unleashed.
Yeah.
He's going to bring some badass Jedi whoop-ass on some people, right?
Well, he's had a lot of time to sit on a mountain and just reflect and get recharge his batteries and get out there and ready to, like you said, kick some ass.
Daisy's very funny, by the way. They asked her what the plot of the film was. She goes, it's just 2 hours of me and Mark Hamill staring at each other because that's their last scene in episode 7, of course. But the exciting news is Daisy's in conversations to star as Lara Croft in the rebooted Tomb Raider series.
Wow.
So she could be the star of the Star Wars movies and also be Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider movies.
I like it.
That's too much for anyone.
Now that Angelina Jolie is old and busted.
Oh, man.
Right?
I just think they're going in a different direction, Bean.
A younger direction.
No, Angelina Jolie's still beautiful and fine and
but
wonderful.
Not beautiful and fine enough to be Tomb Raider, I'll tell you that.
Wow, we missed you, Bean.
Welcome back.
Yeah. But isn't that true? When they reboot all these movies, the guys too, Spider-Man and stuff like that, they always, you know, they get somebody who's 10 to 15 years younger than the last person who did it. That's just how they reboot.
Yeah, it's on. Unfortunately, your mic is on.
Got it.
Go home to mommy.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rosie O'Donnell's 54. Matthew Broderick, also 54 years old today. Gary Oldman. Finally, his last name is coming true. Gary Oldman. See what
no.
I did there? Boom! Drop the mic.
Still so sexy.
He's 58 years old today. And did you just purr?
I did.
Eddie Money is 66 years old today. The Money Man. Of course, we performed together on stage.
Well,
Well, he performed.
Right.
Then he walked off stage. And I walked on stage.
Right.
To no
hoping
performance.
To perform with him.
Right.
Had he remembered
perform,
that, that
then
was
not performing.
Right.
Just more me just standing and then slowly backing off of a stage at that point. Eddie 66 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A few minutes ago, Ralph, I questioned how last week it came up on the show, what are you going to do, spoon me to death? And we reopened that whole can of worms.
You said it again now.
I know. But we were just talking about it. And a lot of people they offered up the all the movies and TV shows that we know it's not, right?
Right.
Everybody was like, oh, it's
Mystery
Man.
It's Robin Hood.
Right? And it's none of those things. All right. Is this possible? This listener writes, the movie everyone is looking for, and you tell me if we've already shot this one down or if it's possible this is still a thing. The movie everyone is looking for is Dunstan Checks In from 1996, starring Jason Alexander. There's a scene
where the monkey, the orangutan.
There's a scene where Jason Alexander and Rupert Everett are fighting in the kitchen. One of them grabs a spoon and says, what are you going to do? Spoon me to death. I owned this movie when I was a kid and no longer have it, but if anyone would like to check it out, please do.
I don't believe we've ever done the research
on
Dunstan.
I don't think that I have seen that offered up either. Is it possible that this does exist and it's in this movie?
Oh, my God. It's the Holy Grail.
It is the Holy Grail.
You have chosen wisely.
All right. So we need to find us a copy of Dunstan Checks In.
The Penitent Man. The Penitent Man. The Penitent Man.
What's happening?
I don't know. He goes before God. It's Indiana Jones when he's going to get the Grail.
Oh.
Okay. Well, that's where we're at then.
Yep.
So, Victor, thank you very much for calling that to our attention. That could be the answer we were looking for. We will check into that. And by we will check into that, I mean we're going to make Beer Mug watch this movie.
Oh, he'll like it. It's about a monkey that runs amok.
We should give it to Kevin.
Perfect for Kevin.
We should
wait till Kevin gets
that.
Back.
It's so good. This is a monkey, right? A big orange monkey. And he has on the throws ice cream on the walls. And it's so funny because he also goes...
By the way, Kevin probably already owns this movie on DVD, right?
Right.
So we might wait till he gets back. All right, time for a final look at the showbiz beat now on a Monday. What's going on?
Before I beat you with all things showbiz, let me give you something first. It's the kiss and the slap. Here's the kiss first. The Boss, new movie starring the lovely and talented Melissa McCarthy. Going to be in theaters everywhere on April 8th. You!
Big mouth!
No, she does not have a big mouth. She's lovely, a little petite little mouth. You, lucky K-Rock listener, will get to attend the red carpet premiere of The Boss. It's happening at the Regency Village Theater there in Westwood on March the 28th. You will be a big deal showing up to the premiere of The Boss and see the movie before anybody else. If you'd like to go, I've got five pairs of tickets to give away right now to the premiere of The Boss with Melissa McCarthy. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. Ha! I remembered it this time. Call me now. First five people through at that phone number get tickets to see The Boss.
Go home! Get a job!
No.
Get a job!
Don't go home. Don't get a job. Just call. That's all you need to do. Speaking of movies, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office on a Monday morning to see what people went to see over the weekend. Zootopia. Third week in a row, number one, $38 million at the box office. Pretty strong. The Divergent series, Allegiant. Third film in that franchise came in a hair under $30 million, 29.1. Made it number two, Miracles from Heaven. A movie where God drops a kid on its head.
It doesn't really drop a kid on its head.
That's exactly what God does.
Nope.
God knocks a girl out of a tree. That's what the movie's about,
Allie. Well, she falls out of the tree, but she is actually...
Right.
She's cured.
Then she's cured. Now goes, oh, it's a miracle. God cured her by making her fall on her head 30 feet out of a tree. Nice work,
see
God.
See how you think that.
Nice work, God. Mm-hmm. Could have been an easier way.
Remember what you said last week about
yeah,
God?
Yeah, I did. I got a lot of heat for that. I got heat and love, which was odd. You were gone, Bean, but I said God's kind of a dick.
Who could have any problem with that?
I'm just saying... If he has to knock a kid out of a tree to cure her, it's kind of a dick move on God's part.
I think that's fair.
I think so, too.
Okay.
One lady did not think it was fair.
Mm-mm.
And she's probably not listening to us this morning.
She blamed me as well, and I was just sitting here.
I will never listen to your show again.
He is a dick.
Yeah. See, Kevin said it. That's what it was. 10 Cloverfield Lane. 4th, Deadpool. 5th, London Has Fallen was 6th. Whiskey, Tango, Foxtrot was number 7. The Perfect Match at number 8. Brothers Grimsby Number 9, The Revenant, came in at number 10. Just kidding, God. You're all right in my book.
What if I were to tell you that assistant producer Christine watched the movie Dunstan Checks In last week?
What?
Why?
What?
On purpose?
Let's bring her in. Christine, come
Christine,
on in.
Come in.
We need you to come in. We need to
Were you
out.
Being held against your will? Did you stop by Jason Alexander's house for a cocktail party and he had it on a loop?
Did you watch it?
What's, yeah. Did you watch it?
Can we get her microphone up?
That's awfully
this
random.
This isn't wrote in on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And it was right during the meeting. And I thought, I got to see if this
is... Oh, so you're doing a little research.
I was doing the research because you guys were talking about it on Showbiz. So I fast-forwarded to the scene where they're in the hotel fighting.
Right.
And I watched it twice.
And?
It does not happen.
Son of a bitch.
I know.
Well, then what is
Maybe
it that
it's
is said?
Scene?
What's said that's confusing this listener, then?
I tried to also figure
to
out...
It?
Not really. I mean, they're
Does
having kind of
pick
like
up
a
spoon.
No, he has a knife at one point. Yeah, there's nothing involving a spoon.
Well, why would this guy say that?
I don't
Come
know,
on, Victor.
This bastard.
Is it possible you fast forwarded through?
Yeah,
maybe
did you
he
miss
remembered
the spoon
a different
moment?
Part.
Well, possibly, but I mean, I fast forwarded very slowly. You know, so I'd
Wait,
watch
well,
like
hold
every.
It's like Kevin's back in the room.
Meaning, at the beginning, I watched probably the first 20 minutes.
I was running at a walking pace.
So I watched, like, the first 20 minutes, and I just couldn't do it anymore. So I would fast-forward, like on your scroll button.
Okay.
So I was looking at the scenes, looking for Rupert Everett and Jason Alexander together.
Okay.
And the scene that happens is at the very end of the movie. And I swear I watched it twice, you guys.
I'm going to need you to watch it again.
I will, just
in
to
reverse,
be sure.
Forward.
Is would
there
you like
anyone,
it done quickly
is there
and slowly?
Anyone, yes. In the movie in bed that might be spooning. Is that possible that that's what he was referring to?
I don't know. Okay. I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's still make Beer Mug watch the movie just to be
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Christine.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You for your update, Christine. We appreciate that. Where was I? Did I do all the movies?
I think so.
Okay. Eddie Izzard is bumming me out.
Well, there's nothing he can't do.
Yeah, it's a little over overachieving at this point now. Eddie Izzard, the brilliantly talented British comedian, ran 27 marathons in 27 days for charity. He just finished a double marathon in Johannesburg, South Africa on Sunday and announced that he had completed 27 marathons in 27 days to raise money for charity. And that's some BS right there, right?
Those aren't full marathons.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
No.
26.2 yes. miles.
Every day.
Every day for 27 days.
That's and I never heard what happened, but he ended up not being able to do it. And it might have been a health-related reason. So he had an unscheduled day. That's why he ran two on the last day.
Yeah. Double marathons. Two in one day to make sure he had 27 in 27.
Doesn't he always call people Bubba?
No,
that's a
different
question.
Guy. It's a very different guy. And he raised more than $1 million for charity, so that was pretty awesome.
He's the man who invented Booyah!
No, he is not. He is
sure?
just a British comedian
that.
Who is apparently in pretty good shape, 54 years old.
Wow.
And tweeted,
he was 54, right?
Thank you. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. I'm very tired. Thank you to everyone who donated. This was tough, so don't do this at home. I don't know if I can say much more. So,
and he's got a wooden hand, if
no,
I remember correctly.
No, he doesn't have a wooden hand. He's got all of his limbs, and he ran a lot for charity, and it was all good.
He is a dick.
No, he's not. He's a good man and a nice man, and he's raised money for charity by doing
and
something
terrorist,
extraordinary.
You know,
not
situation.
A, not a terrorist situation. He's just a guy who did good things for a good cause.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes.
When Eddie Izzard says to us, as he has, he's going to run for mayor of London, I think he's going to be the mayor of London.
I think he
like,
should
I don't
be.
Think you can
he
stop
can
this
do
guy.
Anything.
He can do anything.
Yes. And if he's the mayor of London, I'm moving to London.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
Yes. Because his State of the City addresses would be great if they have such a thing. State of the City addresses. No. Like, oh, but I can't believe it. I came in and it was like, then this person came in. I couldn't believe it. And he looks at me and he would just go off on this improv rant and be off.
While in a dress.
Yeah, well, yes. It's all good things. And before we say goodbye, let's pay tribute once again to Kim Tripp. Kim Tripp, as you all know, was midget Kim Kardashian in Beecher's Madhouse in Las Vegas, Mini Kim. And she was found by her boyfriend, Mini Kanye, shortly after midnight on Sunday, passed away at the age of 32. No word on her passing, if it was due to a medical issue, if there was foul play involved. But She has passed away. So.
So you're saying there's a job opening?
I'm saying,
oh, Chip.
I'm saying, you could, if you could step in, you could be the new Mini Kim.
Sweet.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays are on a piece of paper that is right here. Rosie O'Donnell, 54 years old today. Matthew Broderick turns off 54 as well. Gary Oldman is 58 years old. And singer Eddie Money, the Money Man, 66 years old today. Hit it, Steve.
I've got two tickets for paradise.
Yeah.
Won't you pack your bags and leave tonight? I've got two tickets for paradise.
Right.
I've got two tickets for paradise.
Sweet. That's a sweet, sweet song.
It's real good.
I remember performing with him on stage.
Yeah? Yeah. How'd that go?
I don't really want to talk about it. He forgot me. Walked off stage.
Still kind of a painful memory for you, I'm sure. This you don't look forward to this date every year.
No. Someday. I'm Ralph Garman to walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we're going to try again to do better. We got an all-new Kevin and Bean show planned for you. We do have some good guests, though. That's a nice start. We're going to have the great Courtney B. Vance on the program.
Oh,
he is killing it as Johnny Cochran on the American Crime Story, People versus O.J. Simpson. I mean, look, he's an actor that I've been aware of and a fan of for a long time, but every once in a while somebody will come along and get a role that you just can't – you are once again astonished by how talented the person is.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of performance he's given over there on that FX series. Also, comedian Ari Shaffir on the program. We got a brand new Bean Makes Us guest and more tomorrow morning right here on K-Rock.